Moses' debt. Bela Lugosi is dead. I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead.
All right, hello everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 52. On today's podcast, I talked to my friend and colleague, a very funny woman, Miss Christina Pazitsky. Here's the deal. I was going to talk to her about reality shows because, one, she watches the fuck out of them, and two, she was actually on a reality show. She was on one of the real ones. She was on The Road Rules a long, long time ago. So I thought it'd be super interesting to get her sort of unique perspective on reality shows, having been on one. But as happens sometimes on my podcast, once I start talking, I meander with my guests onto a different subject. And if I find that subject interesting enough and fruitful enough, then I just say, fuck it, and let's just concentrate on the new subject. So we started talking about depression and what she went through when she was in high school and I guess after high school and dealing with her crazy mom. And so if you know anything about me, I'm super, super intrigued by any sort of mental health issues. It just interests the fuck out of me. I don't know what it is. I just love it. So we just talked about that. And then we talked about some other things too. We got into talking about girls in comedy and a bunch of other shit and how much of a goth she was. But we're calling it Crazy Train because that's the main topic. In terms of stand-up, okay, here's the deal. Last time, the introduction to my podcast went way too long. It was like 10 minutes, way too long. I want to keep it like 5. But I have to tell you about stand-up gigs because that's the only reason I do this thing. So, and also, I love stand-up. I'm a stand-up comic. It's all I do. It's all I do. It's all I 5 to 7 days a week, I'm up at the Comedy Store or somewhere working on my act. So I want you to come see me, but I'll keep it short. I'm not going to go in-depth in each one. So here they are in order. First, if you're listening to this today, when it's released on Monday, the next day, Tuesday, March 27th, I am doing my storyteller show, my once-a-month-ish storyteller show in Los Angeles. So it's not going to be one in April. There might be one in Austin, but there's not going to be one in Los Angeles. So March 27th, it's all stories about bullies. It's called This Is Not Happening Presents Bullies. It's me. Christina is doing it, which is really cool. I get so rarely I get girls. Who else? Eddie Ift from Talking Shit. Joe Sib from Complete Control Radio. I don't know if you guys knew him. I discovered him on Indy 103 when that was the big radio station in Los Angeles. So he'll do it. Sean Patton from New York. It should be a great show. And it's only $5. So come out. I might give the money to charity too. I don't know. I probably should. I don't want it. Like, I don't want that money. I just want everyone to come and have a good time. But if nobody pays, then people don't take the show seriously. So I make it $5. Even though the improv begs me to make it more, I say no. So come to that. In terms of stand-up, otherwise, I got Vancouver the last weekend of March at the Comedy Mix. Then Helium in Philadelphia the first weekend of April. Second weekend of April, the 12th through 15th, I got Addison in Dallas. San Diego in La Jolla, California, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. I'm going to be there with Rick Ingram, Tony Hinchcliffe, and Freddie Lockhart. We're going to have a 420 weekend blowout. It should be really fun. So come. We're going to smoke pot during the shows, after the shows, before the shows. It's a weekend committed to marijuana, so come to that. And then Moon Tower in Austin, I'm doing the Moon Tower Festival. I may do a storyteller show there, but otherwise I'll be there doing a big show with, I think, a dirty show with John Toll and Big J. Okerson and maybe Laurie Kilmartin. Why do I feel like that's a name? And then Denver. I'm super excited about that in May. Denver and Kansas City and somewhere else in May. But check my schedule for that. That's AriTheGreat.com. The whole schedule's up on the side, or if you go to shows section, they'll all be there. Okay, now for sponsorship. These are the people that are paying for my podcast to exist. So here's the deal. I'm not hawking anything anymore. I'm hoping not to. All I'm doing is telling you about some stuff that's going to make me money. If you go to Amazon.com to buy shit, I know you do. If you don't, fucking do, because there's no tax. I don't know how long that's going to last, but they don't charge tax. Maybe it's just in California, but it's a fucking sweet deal, and shit comes to your house. You don't have to go to malls with fat people anymore. You just stay at home with your fat self, eating your own pizza, not to be around other fat people. But anyway, if you order shit off Amazon, instead of going straight to the Amazon.com website, there's a banner on my website, AriTheGreat.com. And if you just click on that, it takes you to Amazon, and then they give me a percentage of whatever you purchase. They just give me that. It doesn't cost you anything more. You get your shipment on time. Everything is the same. But if you go through my website to get there, then I get some cash. So if you're going to go shop on Amazon, don't buy anything just for that. But if you're going to anyway, help me out and go through my website. Just click on the link. It'll take you right to Amazon and then buy whatever the fuck you want. And there's a separate link for Amazon in Canada and Canada because I guess Amazon feels the same way as the U.S. Department of Immigration, where we don't think Canadians are the same. Although all Americans are in shock every time we hear about a Canadian gets deported. We're like, what the fuck do you – nobody cares about that. Deport Mexicans. We all agree. That's the issue. No Irish people coming over here bothers us. We're just worried about Mexicans. If you're listening from another country, you probably won't be allowed to come here and live here. But just so you know, Americans themselves don't give a fuck. The other way to help me and my sponsorship is by signing up for a free 2-week trial at Gamefly.com. Gamefly is a place where you can get you can rent video games. It's kind of like Netflix for video games, or like Blockbuster tried to do. They tried to do that thing that Netflix does where they ship you fucking CD or DVDs, but they would constantly fuck it up. They would send you like, oh, we're out of tape 2 of Curb Your Enthusiasm, so we'll send you tape 4 instead. And you're like, it doesn't do any good out of order, asshole faces. That's a tangent. I just went on a big tangent. See, that's a problem with me. But, okay, so if you go to gamefly.com/Ari and sign up for a 2-week free trial, they're just going to give me money. Cancel the free trial at the end of the 2 weeks if you want. Keep it and continue to use it. It's a cool service if you want to. But even if you don't play video games, just help me out. Sign up for a free trial and give me cash. And if you think I haven't done it myself, you're wrong, because I've done it to get myself cash. So help a Jew out by giving a Jew money. That's how we exist. Getting a Jew money is like helping a groundhog see his shadow. It's in our nature, and you allow us to become ourselves that way. So go to gamefly.com/Ari. There's also a link for it on the banners on my website, too. So help me out for doing those. All right, that's it, everybody. Fuck, shorter than 10 minutes, but it's still 7.5. Mother F. All right, we'll get shorter next week. That's it. I hope you guys are enjoying these. Again, if you have any suggestions, contact me, Ari Shaffir. Oh, contact@arishaffir.com. And I'll read all of those. Also, my website has extra features, some clips of Christina and some of the music I used. And that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 52, Crazy Train with Christina Pazitsky. Let's just start.
Now, is this one of those microphones? Like, where's the...
No, you're just talking into it.
Wow, yours are way better than ours.
Really?
These
are stand-up mics.
Oh, because we have to talk directly to the top.
What do you have?
I don't even know, dude. Tommy bought it for our Momcast.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a studio, or do you have...
Yeah, we have a studio. We're in the mommy dome right
What's
now.
What's Momcast? What does that mean? Are you pregnant?
No.
Oh. Oh, your mom's house. Mom
yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Ew. What?
Mouth babies. No, we do it next door in the next room. Yes, in our office.
So you set up a whole thing like Patrick Melton?
Yes. Actually, yes. He counseled us on how to do
a lot
of it.
He set one up in a spare bedroom. Red Band too, actually.
Really? Oh, there you go.
Spare bedroom/office.
That's right. And that's where we sit in our forever lazies and our pajamas and we record Momcast.
Yeah. Maren just told me, he was like, I was like, isn't it weird with my, you have to have like holders and stuff? He goes, most people you talk to are going to be comics. They know how to hold a mic.
Yeah, we just hold ours like this too.
Oh, really?
Are you friends with Mark Maron?
I'm friendly with him.
I've only ever met him once, and I just started listening to WTF, and I just love it.
Oh, he's great.
I love his interviews. I think he is.
I wish I was better friends with him. That's why I'm like stuttering. We've gone out together sometimes, like here or there, but like not really. So if we're both at the improv, like, what are you doing? You want to get something to eat?
Well, because it occurred to me, you two, if his podcast persona is anything like his real life persona,
it is. He pushes a little on the podcast, I think, but it's close to him.
It's real misery, and I feel like you two would probably bond on that because you're kind of a weird dude.
I'm weird, but not miserable. What do you mean weird?
Well, can I tell you?
Right before we started, she was like, can we talk about your weirdness?
Well, because, okay, honestly, like, I've known you in the stand-up world for, like, 10 years, but I don't know you. Like, this is the first time you're in my house.
Yeah, it's super nice.
It's beautiful, right?
This looks like a real house. It's not. Even though it's messy, it still looks like a woman lives here.
Thank you. Well, except for the paintings behind you that Tommy likes.
Oh, yeah.
What is it, Venus eating his son or whatever? It's pretty gory. Yeah, it's disgusting. But no, I've always sensed a weirdness with you in our relationship. I didn't know how tonight would be, honestly, because I was like,
oh, really?
Does Ari have, like, are you this way with everybody? Or is it just me? I've always sensed that you don't trust me, or maybe you don't trust women.
Yeah, I have a thing with women a little bit.
What's the thing?
When you start at the Comedy Store, you're fighting. You're just fighting. I see it in the door guys now, and the people who just became non-door guys and became paid regulars, like recently.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I used to be exactly like that. It's an us against them mentality in every way you can have. Like tall people against short people, men against women, Comedy Store against Laugh Factory.
Yes.
Whatever I can have to be us, it was like a fight. So I don't, yeah. And I'd see women get on like open mics and stuff, or like book shows that I could never get on. I'm like, that girl sucks.
Oh, so that's what you thought about me? You were like, oh, Christina sucks. Why does she get to be?
When I first became aware of you, David Taylor and I had the David Taylor catastrophe.
Oh my God. I remember. That was ages ago.
Yeah. It was super fun. It was Dave was hosting. I was the co-host. I was the host. What was it? What are they called?
And Joe Wagner.
Joe Wagner was
the
musical. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Oh,
he was a musical. He was the band.
Yeah.
He was great at that.
Yeah, he was so funny.
I remember
still
when Ingram
is.
Would come out as like Drunk Argus, and he would play a song about what's about to happen, but wouldn't know what's about to happen. So he goes, guy in military clothes, don't know what's going to happen. Is it a sketch? Is it? Oh, it's conceptual. As he like figured out what it was. It was so great. Yeah, David was like the Leno, and I was... Well, I guess he didn't have a sidekick. I was a sidekick.
But you were around, but you were always skulking in the shadows.
Yeah, but David was like, let's get this girl Christina on our show as like a correspondent from the audience. Which
right.
is a good idea. I'm like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, I mean, I was what, 25, 26? I had just started stand-up. I was so intimidated.
29 or 28, yeah.
No, I was not.
I was 29 or 28.
Oh, yeah, you're like 47 now.
Yeah.
But I was very intimidated by you guys because you
really?
Guys were the Comedy Store boys. And back in the day, you know, you and David Taylor and who else? Dan Bylek.
Bylek, yeah.
You three Yusuf. Pieces Yusuf. Of shit. Yeah, oh, and Nick Yusuf, yeah.
But I got a lot of flack for them because I hung out with them. People were like, we won this award. Remember the Scoomies?
No.
It was a Southern, let me see if I remember. So for Southern California Open Mic something awards. It was two O's. I'm forgetting an O. It was the Scoomies, and they had an award show for the Open Mic Awards.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and we won the Axis of Evil once. It was either me, Yusuf, and Taylor, or me, Dan Bylek, and Taylor. They had three evil people. But I'm like, me? Mm-hmm. But I just got lumped in with them all the time.
By association. But Nick Yusuf was always sweet to me. He was younger.
Yeah.
He still is, but...
I caught a lot of flack. Like, I thought you hated me. And I'm like, no, that's David.
David is
I was
is
just
hateful.
Next to him. He would go, fuck you to people and walk away. And then they'd see me talking to him. People are like, why'd you say fuck you to me? I'm like, that was David did that. I saw him do that to you. I was nearby.
Well, maybe it's your quiet indifference.
I'm quiet, too.
But I interpret that because of my own insecurity as, you know, maybe
he
you
hates
being...
Me.
Yes, maybe you disapprove of me.
I used to do that with Zach Galifianakis.
Interesting.
When he was still coming around a little... Once in a while, he would come to an open mic. Like once or twice a year, he'd stop by like Westwood Brew Co. on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Or we'd overlap on shows I just started getting booked on, and he was still like, all right, I'll do that show. Like, still, like, doing a few of the low-level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I always thought, like, that guy doesn't ever says hi to me. He's being a dick. And then I realized, like, I've never said hi to him either.
Right.
And I know who he is because he's bigger, but he didn't know what. So then I said hi to him once. I said, hi, I'm Ari. And from then on, for it's been 10, 12 years since then, he's always like, hi, Ari. How you doing? Just because I introduced myself once. Yeah. I won't see him for 3 years. I'm like, hi, how are you, Ari? How's Brody? You see Brody lately? He's just nice, but I just had to introduce myself, and I just assumed he was something other than he was.
So do you think that's
maybe, key? But I was super quiet.
You're quiet, and I also sense a turning point in your development as a comedian and as a human being.
Yeah.
There seemed to be a point where you kind of lightened up a little, and I don't know if it's
because... I stopped fighting, too. That's what it was. It was like I stopped fighting.
Fighting...
The us against them situation.
The Comedy Store whole
I was like,
mentality.
Oh, Laugh Factory has a bunch of great comics.
Right.
They can have good ones there. We have shitty ones.
Right.
So why can't I look at their shitty ones and I refuse to look at our shitty ones?
Right. So you kind of grew up. You grew up and you realized that people are people.
Yeah.
And shitty comics are shitty comics at any club.
I don't even hold it against shitty comics. I don't think I ever saw you do stand-up.
No, that's the thing. I don't think we did shows.
The first time I saw you do stand-up was at some horrible... showcase show at Club 11 at some gay nightclub.
Oh, yeah. Like Good Bar. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was the worst. Like Leslie Wolf.
That?
Leslie
somebody Wolf. Else. Kathy Kanicki?
Kanicki did a few of those. And then there was some guy.
They were bad. Good Bar.
That was the best. And they wouldn't put me up, I remember, because I didn't bring like 10 people. Or they put you up dead last in those days.
If you didn't bring anybody, you're supposed to bring people.
You're like, thank you. That was awesome.
I would
awesome.
Feign like I hadn't. Like they're supposed to be here. I don't know.
Of course.
I would go out to the street and look both ways. Even though I knew I didn't invite anyone, I would fully go out and be like, fuck. Where? I get myself worked up. I'm like, I'll go on last. Sure, of course.
Where are my friends?
Yeah. On those shows meant the worst crowd. Not like on a headliner show where it's like the headliner goes on last.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, gosh.
Peak would be in the middle.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, because then once the guy in the middle goes, all of his friends get up and it's a mass exodus, and then you're left to perform for like
these
2 3-hour drunks.
Shows. Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst. So hard. It's so.
So hard.
So
I tell
shitty.
Every new person when they're like, should I move to LA to start stand up? I'm like, no. It's a very. Like, they do not help new comics at all.
Oh, it's an attrition game. I think it's harder than law school. It's harder than like.
And it's more random.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not just, like study hard in law school, you'll get ahead.
Yeah. It's just a game of misery. Like, how much shit can you take for how long?
There's six people in the audience. Two are asleep. One is talking to another one. Some guy's writing jokes. And you have, like, one guy paying attention.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that one?
It's the best.
They call it, like, Louis the 14th now or something?
Oh, my God. It sounds familiar. Is it on?
It's on the corner of Laurel Canyon and Sunset. And it was the coconut teaser.
Holy cow, that's the worst.
It was the worst open mic in history. It was downstairs.
Yeah.
It was shitty upstairs where there was bands, but downstairs was the dungeon.
I think I remember this place.
God.
Wait, no, can I tell you? Here's a memory I have, a David Taylor memory. I don't know if you were there.
Yeah, I got locked in with them.
I know, because you guys were butt buddies
at the
time.
We were both tall, too. And on the phones, we both booked the phones at the Comedy Store. So we got viewed as people's like, oh, they're the Comedy Store guys. I'm like, we're just... trying to get made paid regulars.
You guys were, yeah.
We
so,
got mixed up on the phones, whatever.
Do you remember? This is the worst one ever. It was at a coffee house called Psychobabble in Los Feliz.
Oh.
And it was run by Henrietta. And
I remember Henrietta.
Henrietta, her parents survived the Holocaust.
My dad, too.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But do you write jokes about it?
No.
Is it funny?
No.
Very hard to make
one,
it funny.
I have one joke about it. It's every time somebody, this is my only joke about it, is every time somebody like... is smoking a bowl.
Yeah.
They say, oh, should we smack? Is that one done? Should we load another one? I was like, no. My dad's a Holocaust survivor. We don't waste. You finish that bowl and then we'll light another one.
That was way funnier than what she
Henrietta,
was doing
what
back
was she
then.
Doing?
I mean, look, in her defense, it's super hard making my parents survive the Holocaust jokes funny.
She wasn't a good comic. That's all it was. She was a bad comic. She never should have done it. There's a bunch of people in LA who should not be doing comedy, but they're just like, I like this. And they just keep going.
Isn't that interesting, though?
Mm-hmm.
I always wonder what the psychology of that is. Because everybody starts off shitty.
Uh-huh.
And then you kind of see a progression. You realize, like, oh, my bookings are getting better. And, oh, wow, I seem to be getting a better reaction from the audience. But some people just flatline, and they keep on going. Like,
you went on the road. You saw bookings. I just saw, like, I could get in more book shows in LA.
Right.
Or like regular shows, or I do better. But yeah, some people never got it.
But how do you keep going? Yeah. Like, what kind of person is like, I'm not getting better laughs. I'm not getting better bookings. It's been 15 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep fucking doing it. Like,
somebody asked me, my friend Avi Lerner asked me, like, early on, he goes, how long does it take you to get good? I'm like, well, there's no real time limit. There's no time.
Yeah.
I've heard it's like 10 years.
Yeah.
It's like a breaking point for a lot of people right around there. But he goes, do you know when you're not going to make it? I'm like, you know when other people aren't going to make it. But none of those people know about themselves.
Right.
None of those people.
Right.
I used to see Steve Pearl and like.
Oh, I loved Stephen Pearl. He
lost it.
Did he?
He's crazy a little bit. Like, I'm sure he was big in the 80s and stuff. But you're like, you're a nut job. You're still making Bing Crosby jokes. Like, and you can look at him and you're like, this isn't going to happen for you. Like, very clearly.
Yeah.
This is not going to happen for you. Still dress like Mork.
Oh, I know. He was
he's
at the,
nice, but like.
He does the bowling alley in like Canoga Bowl or something.
Oh, really?
Or is that Dante's gig?
I don't know.
Poor Stephen Pearl. Oh, yeah, that's
Henrietta,
my worst fear. Oh,
Josh Nassar. People, I'm like, you seem nice enough, but like, it's not even, nothing against you. It's just like, this is not for you.
Yeah. Yeah, because I went to law school for.
Did you really?
I did.
That was my fallback plan.
Sorry?
That was almost my fallback plan.
Oh, that it was terrible. And I got in. I Southwestern. It's like a third tier school.
Northwestern's a really good school.
No. Southwestern.
Oh.
Downtown LA. Yes. A very different school. Used to be an old Bullocks building, and they turned it into a law school. And I barely got in. And after 2 weeks, I was like, you know what? This isn't for me. I'm
really?
Not smart
2 weeks?
Enough. Yeah.
Oh, great.
I wasn't bright enough. I wasn't good enough. I didn't give a shit enough.
Yeah.
And I said no, thank you. And you just left. Yeah,
it'd be nice to know right away.
Yeah, yeah. It was a $6,000 mistake, but like the best mistake I ever made, ever.
Simone says all the time. We always commiserate on that. Like, I wish we could have quit 6 months in, and gotten on with our lives then. Well, now it's too late. We're stuck.
We're so stuck.
Yeah.
At this point, there's nothing else we could do. What would you do if you didn't do stand-up?
Right away. If I tried this for like 6 months and I just could not get a single laugh. Well, we'll say a year because I didn't for 6 months. Yeah. But like, yeah, law school. I do law school.
You could do that.
Yeah.
You're an intellect.
I have logic on my side.
What did you study in school?
I was an English major, but I went to yeshiva for 2 years in Israel.
Well, that's some Jewish thing.
I studied Talmud, and that's all logic-based.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. It was like 14 hours a day of studying.
Wait.
And prayer.
Is this the kibbutz thing too?
The kibbutz was right before I went to yeshiva. I went there for 6 months.
Wow.
My high school, we were rich kids. Half was rich, half was like middle class. But the second semester of senior year, you go to Israel.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You can opt out, but almost everybody does it.
You take a
double semester of English and math, like first semester, and the second semester, everybody goes. So 2 months we live in a kibbutz.
Ugh.
We live in Jerusalem for a while.
And you just milk goats and stuff and like, make cheese or whatever.
I mostly just try to get out of work.
Of course.
The utopian society of like, everyone's going to pitch in and together we're going to, like, no, you'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll just eat your free food and pretend I was sick.
And could you get out of it easily?
You had to claim sick. Every once in a while you couldn't get out of it. They're like, get the fuck up. Nothing's wrong with you. You're going to pick avocados. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then you try to sleep. You try to like go as far as you could and just sleep and not pick avocados.
Ugh.
I think they were getting paid, the kibbutz, to have us there. Kibbutz Levi. I think they got a deal from like our schools. Like, all right, here's $2,000.
Yeah.
House these kids and put them up and
free
try
labor.
To put them to work.
Yeah.
Some people love that. Some people like worked in the kitchen or worked in the kindergartens or the cow pastures.
I would kind of like that.
Poland loved it. He woke up at 4:30 every day to go to the cow pastures.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't wake up early. What time did they make you wake up there?
6:37, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my stomach hurts. Get up. No, I'm serious this time.
Yeah.
My stomach really hurts. I just want to sleep till noon.
Wait, and did you make out with chicks there?
Made out with one chick, a lesbian.
What?
Rachel Simmons, who was...
Why you called her out? You just put her on blast right now.
She's
you
my
said
friend.
Her name.
She's written numerous books about... She's like an intellectual. She's written books about like... she was on Oprah's book club once.
She was on Oprah's book club?
She wrote books about women bullying each other and how much more dangerous it is than when... I should interview her, actually. Than when men do it because... Teachers can't put a stop to it because they don't see it.
Oh, I used to go to public school here in LA. I grew up in San Fernando Valley, and they would bus in kids from South Central, gangbangers.
Oh, that's pleasant.
Oh, I used to get the fuck beat out of me.
Really?
Big black girls. I used to not fight and fight with the Mexicans with the cholas because I was goth.
Yeah.
And goth girls and cholas, we had the same makeup.
Yeah.
So, like, we were cool as shit. But, oh, man, I used to get pummeled by black chicks.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't the kind of bullying we were talking about.
Oh, what was your
Jesus. That's male bullying. Punching. Where teachers can see that and like pull each other apart.
No, but they didn't. They turned a blind eye. I was like,
really?
Is nobody seeing that I'm getting? Yeah, it would happen in gym
teachers
class.
Teachers became wardens.
Yeah. It was like, this is the worst.
They would all just leave all of a sudden. Like, why are the teachers all leaving?
Yes, I swear.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. It's going down. Somebody give them a pack of cigarettes and they just leave.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. We tattoo each other and.
The kind of bullying she was talking about was like when girls sit down at a table, like to cafeteria to eat, and everyone else stands up and like calls that slut and like stands.
Yeah, that's standard. I feel like that's standard girl behavior in junior high and a little bit through high school. Yeah, it's so evil. But that's because girls don't duke it out. And I don't know. There is something to be said for physical violence. I mean, have you ever been in a fight?
Yeah.
Kind of solves shit, doesn't it?
It does. It's like, okay, all right, we can move past this or whatever. But
yeah, because that girl Rosina, her name was Rosina Johnson, the girl that I used to
beat you up?
Yeah,
Rosina Johnson. Oh, it's like black and Mexican together.
No, she was straight black. She was huge. Oh. This was in eighth grade, and she used to sing a lot in the locker room. She would sing "Every Little Step" by Bobby Brown like every day. And one day I was like, I can't take this shit because I'd change and I would have to hear her singing in my ear.
Yeah.
And I told her, I was like, why don't you shut the fuck up? And then that did not work, and she beat the shit out of me.
Oh.
But you know what? After that...
You're like, can't we have a nice discussion about it first?
Yeah.
Why do you move to violence right away?
But we became buddies after that. Like, she had respect for me, and I just never talked to her.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, too. It's like, I beat you up, so I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move past it.
I win.
Instead of 2 years of fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of way easier.
Yeah, but girls are, you know, I don't know what that is, man. I like to fight it out directly with girls.
What do you mean? To argue with them?
Yeah, because that stuff is really...
What?
I don't know, dude. It is more insidious to fight that way, I think. Chicks should fucking... I don't know. I mean, what are you writing down? What are you doing?
I like putting music in these things.
What are you going to put in there?
Every little step. I'm going to forget later, so I like to put in cues. Stuff I want to ask about, or I just started with music cues. I'm like, oh, I should get back to that.
That's a great jam.
Yeah.
That was a great CD.
Yeah, Bobby Brown was big for a while.
Yeah.
I can't believe her. He married Whitney Houston.
That was the best reality show of all time. Did you ever watch it?
No. It was just them being crackheads together?
Yeah, and drinkers. Like, they would be up drinking in the morning, and Whitney was real...
Just right away, just boozing.
Real ghetto. Yeah, she was awesome. She would yell at him and shit. He would dig like dookie bubbles out of her butt. Like she'd be constipated and he would put his fingers up her butt.
Oh.
Yeah, we talked about it on your mom's house.
How's he doing with all this?
I heard he performed the night that she passed away.
Really?
Yeah. But we all process grief like differently. Maybe that was his way of like...
Had this kid in sleepaway camp, his dad died. While he was at sleepaway camp.
Oh, yeah?
Something Diamond. Not Mike Diamond, but maybe it might have been Mike Diamond, just like the Beastie Boy, but I don't know.
Mm.
But he started laughing.
What?
They told him he just started laughing. And it was clearly like, I mean, he loved his dad. It wasn't like an evil, it just grief. It just hit him.
Ugh.
And that's how it manifested itself.
Oh, God, don't talk about that.
You thought I hated you?
Oh, for sure. For years, yeah. No, I'm serious. I was kind of like, when you asked me to do this, I'm like, oh my God, is he going to come over here and like
really
antagonize me? I thought
I
maybe.
I did at one of your mom's houses.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I've talked.
Yeah, but you're different to me. I feel like there's a different energy, you and me, than you and Tommy or you and guys.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
I've known him longer. I don't know where I met Tommy, but I've known him longer.
Yeah, but you guys don't hang out. You guys weren't like.
We've gone on the road together.
Oh, you have.
Once you spend like two straight days with somebody, it's like...
You're right. With Rogan, I didn't know that you guys...
But working on that movie with you, I think, helped our relationship.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we talked for a couple days.
We helped each other fight for things and contracts and...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's forget about
that. What happened to that movie?
He's still trying.
Oh.
He's still trying.
He has a new product out.
What is it?
God, what is it? I forget.
The ShamWow guy.
The ShamWow guy, Vince Offer.
Vince Offer.
Oh, it's a sticky thing.
It's a sticky thing?
It's like a roller. It's like a fucking lint brush.
Yeah.
It's basically a lint brush, you know, with the gluey stuff on it. And he's like, you can use it on your cat. You can use it on your shirt. And it's just different size of sticky.
He's amazing. I'm going to talk to that someone. He gets calmed down. He's one of those guys that seems like they're on crack all the time, but they're not.
No, he's really cool.
He's so sober. So it's like... he's always like so hyper.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I want to interview for my podcast and talk about how you did this and how you came up with all this stuff.
It's a pretty crazy story.
He told
story.
Me, yeah. I'm like, it's amazing. I want to talk to you. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, cool. Tomorrow, maybe tomorrow. I'll get to it.
Can I tell you the funniest part about working on that movie, though?
What?
Is because I was hired to throw lines and like
at me?
For you. And then uh-huh. Michelle Rodriguez had a scene in it and I was supposed to try to help on that. And I remember like he didn't think what we were doing was very funny at all.
Yeah.
Like you and me both. And I remember like hearing him be like, that's not very funny. Like telling Ken. And I'm like, oh no, I'm going to get fired. Like this is just another firing.
Well, he was good at having this. He was good at knowing like I have a specific sense of humor. Him, I mean, had a specific sense of humor. I like visual things.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, that won't work with these.
Right.
And he was okay with like, okay, we'll do it your way.
Yeah.
He was cool enough with like, I had to fight him on things here or there, but he was good at like, okay.
That's true. Yeah. He did let you do your own thing and he respected that. Because his sensibility is just like, I mean, like partially my, like I love duty humor. It's a lot of poopy and like juvenile shit, which is great. Yeah, you're right. He let the experts do what they wanted.
Yeah, but once I talked to you on that, once I hung out with you a little bit in the green room, not the green room, the trailer, we would like write jokes and stuff.
Yeah, no, I forgot.
And it was like,
I totally forgot.
That calmed us down a little bit. I got to know you. I'm shy around people.
Yeah, why though? Come on.
I don't know people. Well, for the longest time, I just didn't know any. I'm an introvert.
Yeah, but you're also a public persona.
I know, but I'm an introvert. I used to have to, Jake Johansson used to tell me after I get off stage, I did an MC week for him. Feature? No, just an MC week, I think. And I'd be like, hey, buy his CDs, whatever. And then he would go sell his CDs. And I would come out.
What was your sales pitch?
Buy his CDs.
Buy his CDs.
Okay. He would go out there and set up the booth for him, like outside so you can see as you're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'd run out there. I'm saying. And I'd wrap up the show and say, okay, he'll be out there taking pictures and saying, you know, thank you very much. Get an improv t-shirt. And then I would go out there and see the line, and then I would hide in the corner, so I wouldn't have to say bye to people.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And he was like, dude, where are you going? Every day you go into that corner and you hide. I was like, I don't know. I feel weird. He goes, you have to get out there, man. It's just like, shake hands. Like, they're going to try to give me a joke or something.
Oh, yeah.
So he goes, you just have to do it.
Wait, but how are your interpersonal relationships?
Once I get to know people, I'm totally cool. Once I get to know you.
Yeah.
But it takes me a while to try to get to know somebody.
Like 10 years.
Sometimes. Sometimes it takes a moment.
Who are you closest with?
I'm really good friends with David Taylor. I've known him the longest. Those people at the Comedy Store, it's like that's who I hang out with night after night.
Yes.
That's how I became friends with Joe Rogan also. It's like you see people every night and just after a while you get worn down.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. I'm not like
it's the best hangout in LA. It's just like it's the same people there every night. The Improv has some great shows, but it's different people all the time.
Yeah.
It's the same people 3 to 5 nights a week, every week at the Comedy Store.
You know what? The only part that bums me out about the store, though, is the hallway etiquette. Like, there's nowhere to, like, if it's really packed, there's nowhere for you to stand.
If it's really, really packed.
That kills me.
Yeah, it used to be better because the main room only did Tuesdays for Black Night and Saturdays for the Comedy Store shows. So you could always go in there.
Yeah.
But now there's bringer shows in there.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's no place to hang and it's cold. Yeah. It sucks.
Or you're waiting to go up and you're like, I can't stand where the waitresses are.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you're pissing off the waitresses.
In that little tunnel.
Yeah, and there's nowhere to stand. I can't.
Yeah,
if I'm in the hallway, I can't see what the guy's doing on the stage and blah, blah,
Here's
blah.
What you can stand a little bit right behind the entrance to the cover booth.
Oh.
The doorway to the cover, stand there.
Okay.
That's okay. Or up the steps and just to the right a little bit. But usually people are standing there, or if it's packed, they'll put chairs there.
Oh, okay.
So it's like annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what
so
you mean.
So weird.
Yeah.
No,
there's no place
to
stand. It's bad.
But I do. Yeah, you do have an air of like just a little awkwardness. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awkwardness, but I think it comes off as dickishness sometimes.
Not,
I don't mean it that way.
No, I know.
When I'm a dick, though, it's like there's no doubt about it.
Well, I do think your text messages are a little aggressive. Let me read to your listeners.
That's fake overboard.
But it does read, but on texting, it reads a little. Let me just, here's what you don't know about Ari Shaffir.
Okay. By the way, you have an iPhone 4. Very good.
I do.
Do you feel bad for people without it?
So I texted Ari like, oh, okay, come over at 6. And I just checking to make sure that you had all your equipment if you needed to borrow something of ours is what I was insinuating. I said, cool to you. This is me to him. Cool. You bring your own recording shit, right? I'll be here chilling. And then Ari writes, I usually bring most of it and ask the guest to buy me whatever I'm missing. Have fun at the crazy doctor, because I was telling him I went to my street today. And then I was like, thanks, buddy. And then I told him, you can park next door in the church lot. And then Ari writes, I'll find something else. Thank you very much.
It was a Jew joke.
Rude as shit.
Like, I don't want to be... I have parked in that church parking lot. I went to an Al-Anon meeting there once.
It's there all the time. I love
all it. All the time. I didn't know that was there. I was like, oh, I've been to this church.
I love it.
Have you been to them?
No, I watch them from the window, because I do my dishes, and then I love to look over and watch them clap for each other and like...
Oh, you can look in? Oh, they go outside sometimes?
They do it outside.
And back.
And I can kind of overhear them, and then I hear them like... Good job, buddy, or whatever, and then they clap, and I love it. Yeah.
I was amazed by them. I just went just to look what it's all about.
Really?
Yeah.
And? What do you
it's
think?
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Everyone just tells their story.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. You hear people's stories, and the stories are horrible.
I know.
The things they've done. And then you have people who haven't done the horrible things, and they try to push their stories harder, but everyone's like, yeah, right, relax.
Yeah.
You didn't talk to your mom for 3 weeks.
Come
Give
on.
Give me a break.
Raped
my uncle.
Have you ever done an AA show?
Yeah.
The best.
Nick Betancourt has one.
Yeah, that's the one.
So they're like, look, we'll laugh at anything.
Yeah. They've done everything. So like, it's only up from here.
We're not going to get offended.
My mother, who's crazy, like legit crazy, mentally ill crazy, used to take me to codependent anonymous meetings when I was like 15. Because she thought she had that problem with my stepdad. And then... In true codependent fashion, would drag me with her.
Am I going to this, Mom?
Yeah, I'm 15. Like, what could I possibly? What problems do I have at 15? But I like
just want to get another My Little Pony.
You ever do group therapy or anything? It's similar. It's fun.
No, I've never done group therapy. I went to a therapist, though. I used to call it my crazy doctor, just to take the bite out of it. So that's why I would call it that.
What? For you. When did you go?
When I was severely depressed a few years ago.
Yeah. Did it help you?
First couple didn't help me at all. And then I realized how people were like bad. Some people weren't good at their jobs.
Yes.
I didn't want to use sexual. I didn't want to have sexual side effects. Many pills I was being prescribed stopped me from wanting to kill myself. I didn't want to like if I couldn't get a boner or I couldn't come. Like that was like. I would just want to put up with it. I'm like, I don't have to like not have a boner.
That's
I need
the
to
one
have
thing
that.
That's going to help you out of this depression.
Yeah, it's like I need that.
Please.
I can't. So they're like, all right, we'll try something else that doesn't give you that side effect that you can still, that'll still work. Some of them didn't have that side effect, wouldn't work. And then I tried a few and I was like, no, it's not working. Some lady just started yelling at me. It's like, well, I don't know what to tell you. We tried everything. So you're clearly not telling me something or I don't know. And it was like, oh, no, okay, I'm sorry. I'll just, like in my head, I'm like, I'll just accept it.
What type
I'll accept
of
living this way forever?
What type of therapist were you seeing?
I don't know what they're called anymore. It's like someone who could prescribe drugs and also who could
like a psychiatrist
and also could do therapy at the same time.
Yeah, because you can go. I went to a guy once who was wearing white Velcro shoes.
Yeah,
and like mommy jeans, like super high jeans.
And you're like, oh, I just don't respect you.
Yeah, exactly.
You're telling me something, and I want to not listen to it.
Exactly. Like, if you can't even dress yourself right, what makes you think you can tell me how to live my life?
Weird. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm out. Peace out.
Yeah, you have to trust them.
Oh, yeah.
And they have to be good. There's people that graduate at the top of their class, whatever, and there's people who graduate, but at the bottom of their class. They're going to be worse.
Yeah. Well, I go to a lady here at the Wright Institute. I started there. She's a PhD. Which means she's gone through it all. You've got more credentials than like an MFT, which is just like a master's degree.
Uh-huh.
Like I want you to
I started with one of those, then I went to PFT.
Don't even fuck around.
But she was better than the MFT, the first MFT.
Really?
She just was more empathetic.
That's a huge part too.
And then it came up that I was telling my friend Chandra about, you know, that I constantly have fantasies of killing myself. And she was like, you should bring, maybe you should bring that up in therapy. And I was like, nah, I'll deal with other stuff. She goes, I just slide it by.
Did you? I hope you did.
Yeah, I did. And her son had committed suicide. Her doctor,
my God.
So that was like her specialty. So she was like, oh, yeah, you needed to talk to me about this.
Oh, how perfect.
Yeah.
I mean.
And all I was intrigued was like, so how'd your son do it? Like, I just wanted to know. She was like, he was a doctor, so he just prescribed himself pills. I was like, pills? Yeah, that would work.
That seems like the hardest way.
Pills?
Yeah.
Why? Only because like when I take a sleeping pill, I get the shakes in my legs sometimes. I get the itchies. I wouldn't want to get the itchies before I die. But I'm sure he got better pills.
I don't know because I'm afraid of vomiting. I have a severe phobia of vomiting.
Yeah.
So anything of that nature... I was suicidal too as a teenager. I was goth. So I was like, I was a total goth cutter girl, like way fucking dark.
Yeah, I talked to a girl who was a cutter once, and I just want to know about it.
Well, if you're severely depressed and you want to commit suicide, it's like a great release.
Yeah, I started doing it.
Oh, you did?
After I talked to this girl, I just take a kitchen knife and just run it along my arm.
How old are you? Like, how long ago was this?
Oh, this is when I was little, like 35, something like that, 36, somewhere in that range.
Okay, all right.
This was just a couple years ago.
But it kind of does help.
Such relief.
Yeah.
I remember going to play basketball on Tripoli, looking at my arm, because it would like scratch and then the blood would come later.
Right.
Like if you do heavy scratches, it wouldn't bleed right away. Then the blood would like pop up and then would leave scars.
Well, what method were you using? Like what were you cutting with?
Just one of those giant kitchen knives that you would like, one of those things. I would just run it a little bit of pressure along my arm, upper arm, so people couldn't see with the t-shirt.
Okay.
But when I was playing basketball, so I had a tank top on.
Okay.
So Tripoli was like, what are you cutting yourself now? Is that what you're doing? And I was like, yeah, it's come to that, hasn't it?
See, I recommend I don't recommend the kitchen knife. I find that to be a little crude just because that's a really... I mean, I would go with just a straight razor blade.
Really?
Straight razor blade.
Like you get a razor blade. My parents had razor blades in the laundry room.
Yeah.
When I was growing up. I didn't ever think to use them for something like that.
Well, a friend of mine was doing it when we were in...
they're so easy to find.
Eighth grade. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What and they, I like don't a know. Quarter, too? They're so sharp.
How did I find them? Now that I think about it, I must have found them in my house. Oh, my father is a mechanic. And so he had like a bunch of shit, like, you know, cutting tools and stuff. And I found that. And I think I still have some shit that I would write. I would carve into my arms too. It was terrible.
You'd carve letters and stuff in your arm?
Yeah.
How much of that was like you so wanting awful. To show everybody?
I didn't actually. It was that's the hardest part is keeping it a secret, and then it grows, and then it becomes this dark, scary thing, and then the shame grows, and it becomes this overwhelming thing. And I didn't show people. I showed like one of my friends, the girl that had showed me how to do it, and that was terrible.
I remember reaching for something at a bar at the Improv, like for a beer at the bar there, and my sleeve like moved up a little bit, and I saw a red band right next to me. And as I like turned, I saw that it was exposed, and I pulled it down. But then I saw him like mouth agape, looking at it, and I was like, "Ah, it's the wrong person to know. He loves talking about stuff.
He's gonna tell
like,
everybody."
God damn it! Yeah, it's like I'm doing. Yeah, it's weird. Like you're doing these things, but you don't want people knowing.
No, but because that's the. I mean, at least at my age when I was doing it, I was 14 or 13, 14, 15. Those years. And it was just a lot of misery and darkness in that time anyways. And I don't know, it becomes your dark secret when you're that age, I think.
Did you like the secret?
Yeah, because it was a way of, it was a way out of whatever darkness I had, you know? And
yeah.
I don't know, what else do you do at that age?
How often would you do it?
I don't remember now. I mean, there was just a dark time where it got worse and
every
worse.
Every day, every week, every month?
I don't remember. Maybe once a week.
Yeah.
And then it progressed to more and more, and then I was like, I fucking lost my shit, and then
would you do it after specific things? Like, they had bad grade?
During a Cure concert? No.
I'd love to see that Robert Smith. Is that his name? Not everybody who hates life, cut your wrist a little bit.
I would listen to Bauhaus. No, but I would like, I was so goth, and I was so good at being goth, like, I would come home from school and just go straight to my room. And my parents had taken the doorknobs off of my door at this point.
Why? Because you'd lock your door?
Yeah, of course. How fucked up you were? Of course. I'd lock the door, light some candles, put on the Joy Division or the Bauhaus, and just goth out.
Which one's Joy Division? Was that movie was about them?
Oh, yeah. It was the best. Ian Curtis. And I love the lore.
Love Tear Us Apart? Is that Joy
Division? Yes. Okay. Oh. And I love the lore of his like suicide and his misery and depression and like...
Really?
Yeah, so of course.
That was a catchy song. I didn't know about any of that stuff then.
What? Oh, yeah. It's the best. And I worshipped Junkie, you know, like Bauhaus. All of them are on heroin. And
I never heard Bauhaus. I couldn't name one song by them.
Come on now. Bela Lugosi's dead?
Oh, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, there's some early 80s music. I just wasn't into music yet that I've heard later. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard the song, but I don't know it at all.
You were in a kibbutz. You were like milking chickens or whatever. What did you listen to in high school?
In high school, top 40.
Ew.
Yeah, I listened to Casey Kasem every Sunday.
No, you didn't. No,
I'd get up early, listen to top 40.
Get up early.
I would, every day.
What did you like best about Casey?
I liked his warm voice. I like the I like the long distance shout outs or whatever you call them, long distance dedications. This dedication goes out.
Great. He has a, you know, his daughter does radio.
Remember his daughter was on Cheers?
No.
No, that was his wife.
Rhea Perlman?
No. Danny. Do you remember Rhea Perlman's ex-husband on that show?
Okay.
Had dated some girl. Just tall, super ditzy blonde. She had a ponytail that came out from the top.
I don't remember.
She was like 6 feet tall. That was either Casey Kasem's daughter or Casey Kasem's wife.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the... And you're like, what?
But back in the day, like, radio guys got pussy. Like, do you remember Rick Dees?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I grew up in L.A., right? And I went to school with Rick Dees' son. And Rick Dees would come pick up his son from daycare where we were. And I remember, like, we would fucking lose our
just
minds.
Just stare at him.
Rick Dees is here! And we would just run.
Because he'd be on billboards, right?
Oh, I mean, Disco Duck came out.
Yeah, we didn't know who our DJs looked like. We didn't know what they looked like.
Oh, yeah. This guy was
LA is tacky with their billboards.
Yeah, of course. Him and yeah, and who else I'm trying to think of? No, Fraser Smith wasn't. He wasn't DJ big at one point.
I heard he was a DJ.
Yeah. He was popular, but Rick Dees was handsome, and I had such a crush on him, you know? Mm-hmm. And I would ask him to sign, like, my notebook every time he came in, and gosh, they were just so... I still think DJs are kind of cool. Like, I like Howard Stern. I think he's cool. But there are no cool...
Never gotten a Stern.
Are you serious?
Yep. Never gotten a Stern. My friends listened to it. I'd laugh once in a while. I didn't like how the commercials lasted for 48
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, that sucked.
And I really, really didn't like... how he would hang up on people and then continue the conversation, continue the argument.
Oh, I like that. That made me laugh a lot. We'd be like, you stupid, you fucking...
Like, that guy's gone. Once I realized, like, that guy's not even on the foot. He can't even defend himself.
I love that.
Ugh, I hated it.
You know what? I think I loved Stern because that was the summer I was working in my dad's shop. My dad has a forklift business.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to go make me work at his shop on the summers, and I'd have to fucking do cold calls and cold call people and be like, would you be interested in buying a forklift, either propane or gas? Or wait, propane or electric, sorry. Pallet jacks and shit like that. So it was so boring. And I would listen to Stern just for like hours and hours. And I'm like, who is this? Because he was talking about things I never heard.
Oh, yeah, there was
heard.
That where you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, this guy's just saying this stuff. And that's when I was like, oh, wow, so crazy. I mean, stand-up, like, I had known who Eddie Murphy was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you watch Delirious?
Those are the things I'd listen to. We would have the tape at camp and stuff.
At
Delirious
camp?
Raw. It was, like, at Jew camp, yeah. Camp Moshe Va. It's all Orthodox Jews. And we'd listen to those albums.
Wait, do Jewish girls put out?
Religious Jewish girls?
Yeah.
No, they would hold your hand. Every once in a while, someone would kiss.
Because Catholic girls...
With tongue? If you got a girl with tongue, that was a slut. I remember that. I remember like hearing rumors, you know, bitter rumors about how someone slutty. It was about how some girl French
who
kisses.
Just gave tongue.
She Frenched.
How old is this? At camp?
I guess like 6th, 7th grade.
Okay.
4th through 8th grade, something like
sixth,
that.
6th, 7th grade in LA, uh-huh. There was this girl named Shelby Castellucci. And yeah. She had huge titties. Yeah. Like
you
fucking,
have big ones too. I don't think I ever noticed them before.
Well, I keep them under wraps,
I'm,
yeah.
I'm like, Jesus.
I keep them under wraps.
Flopping around. You get your period tomorrow or something? Like, why have I never seen those?
Ari, you're making me uncomfortable.
Your boobs are making me run out of room in this area.
Don't tell these people how big my tits are. I try to keep it a secret. I try to. Do you know that I wear bras?
Really?
That constrict them on stage.
Gentle bras?
Yeah.
The kind that hold you down so you can act like a man?
Yes, I totally do. I strap them down.
Wow. Strap them down?
Like Boys Don't Cry
Boys
style.
Don't Cry, yeah. There was another movie, another comedy movie in the 80s when we were little. It was about a girl blending in with guys.
Oh, yeah, one of the guys.
One of the guys, she would show her boobs. And the guy's like,
that's, that's not how I do it, though. With duct tape. I duct tape them. Wait, no, but Shelby Castellucci, there was a rumor in 7th grade that she was letting people finger bang her. And I always was like, no way. Dude, who's finger banging in 7th grade? I was not finger banging. I didn't even French until like the end of 8th grade. Yeah. And then I ended up getting mono. From like
from
the first guy I kissed, yeah. So I felt like God was punishing me already for, you know, being sexual.
What do you think? She was doing it or not doing it? Finger banging?
I don't think she was. I think that because she had big cans, everybody assumed
that's
that
what Rachel wrote about a lot in those books about bullying women.
Yeah.
You develop early, you're going to get this thing. It's going to stick. It's going to form who you are and fuck you up.
Oh, for forever. Sure.
Here's my theory that Kurt Metzger, you know Kurt Metzger?
Yeah, isn't that the leader of the Ku Klux Klan?
Perhaps. I don't think it's the same guy.
That's Tom Metzger.
Oh, okay.
He's the Grand Wizard or something.
No, I thought it was Tom Likas. Kurt Metzger's a comedian, a New York comedian.
Oh, okay.
Who's really, really, really funny. But his theory on rumors was like, if it's not true, it doesn't have legs and it won't last.
Mm.
You know?
Oh,
like,
I
if somebody saw that rumor about you, that you would finger bang people, it would start and end so fast. People are like, really? Christina, I don't see that. And
that's
people are like,
point.
Nah. But the ones that just keep going, the ones that are true, like, it doesn't work that way. Like, if they start a rumor about you that you're a lesbian, people would be like, It would just go away within a few months.
Right.
But with other people, you're like that guy who won American Idol who came in second, who came out of the closet.
Oh, Clayton?
Clayton, who was, no, I'm not gay. But that rumor persisted.
Right.
Why does it persist?
Right, because it's
true. Because it's true. Or every once in a while, someone will see him fucking a gay guy in a parking lot. You know, and like those things just keep.
I guess that's true. Like the Tom Cruise one.
I bet because she was 14, guys paid her attention and she ended up having to get finger-banged.
That's really I think that's the reality of it, is that they just pay attention to you. And then if you don't have a dad who's like,
who
hey.
Who tells you, like, you don't have to do those things.
Yeah, these guys are just trying to fuck you. Because my dad was really on top of it. Yeah. I mean, my parents were really diligent.
Like, who's
that.
The boss? When Danza told Alyssa Milano, the guys are going to tell you they're going to die if you don't do it, but that'll never happen. She's like, Dad, no one ever said it. And some kid pulled that on her, and she's like, boom, good father figure. My father's a maid for rich women. So I'm going to listen to what he says, my maid father.
But who didn't love Alyssa Milano? Like, God. I wanted to be her. I'm sure every guy wanted to bang her.
I think she's like, she's either my age or in between my age and your age.
Yeah.
Like, she's right around our age.
And looks better than both of us.
I remember seeing her at the Improv a few times, going like, you know how you see, like, in LA, you see a model, probably a guy or a girl, and you're like, Jesus, they're good looking.
Yeah.
Just things you don't see somewhere else. Well, you grew up here, so I guess you don't notice it.
Yeah.
But I saw her a couple times, not recognizing who she was. It was like, who the fuck is that? Who brought that girl? Which comic is dating her? She's so hot. And people are like, it's Alyssa Milano. And you're like, oh. God damn it, she's good looking.
Oh, yeah. She maintains it. But that thing that people don't realize is that that's a full-time job.
Keep
maintaining
hot.
Your fucking... Listen, if you and I had nothing but time all day just to train and go get facials and fuck around... Mm-hmm. No, I'm saying, you can't do that.
Here's the reality. We do have that time.
No, I don't. I'm.
What do you do?
Oh, I'm on. If you're on the road, you're in Louisville, Kentucky for 4 or 5 days.
Not doing anything until 8 p.m.
What am I doing? Louisville? What?
They have spas there. They have facials there.
But you're traveling all the time.
I know.
You're eating like garbage. You're eating out of dumpsters.
I said that once to my ex, to Allie. You never met her.
The blonde girl?
Uh-huh.
No, I met her like once.
Okay.
Really pretty.
Yeah. She had boobs your size.
Could you not?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You act like they're not out.
They're not out. No, they're not out. I'm sorry. I'm a boobs guy. I noticed them. They're so close to faces that it's like I'm looking at your
face.
Don't
bring this up because then people are going to start looking at them.
You also have a giant vagina. Should I say that?
Just talk about my hairy vagina. And I don't.
She has a huge muff. It goes out.
It's a full bush.
Kim Deal is a spirit animal. I like that.
Do you love that?
I do like that. Who made that for you?
Just some girl on the internet I found because I'm a huge Kim Deal.
I usually use longer cords so I could like walk around. No, you're all right.
I'm a huge Kim Deal nerd and a Pixies nerd. They're my all-time favorite. What are you doing?
I got these head rushes.
Oh, my God. All right. Do you want me to hold you?
No, it's all right. I'll just sit down for a little bit. I'm good.
Are you okay?
It's so that scary. Medicine that makes me not commit suicide.
Oh, are you on that still?
Yeah.
What's it called?
The Cypramine? It's an 80s drug.
Wait, and that stopped you from having bad thoughts and made the bad thoughts go away?
Yeah, let me concentrate on good things. Saved me. Saved my life, really.
Did it solve the root problem?
Yeah, I guess so. The way I understand depression is it makes you focus. It just stops your brain from like focusing on things you want to focus on.
Yeah.
It just gets you locked in a certain way. Like, and if you're in a bad mood for 2 days, it's raining maybe.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm feeling blue. And that just stays there forever.
Yeah, I know. I've been depressed for years.
So for like 8 or 9 months, like, what the fuck?
I was depressed for like 7 years.
Really?
I was goth until I was like 19. Yeah, but there was a cause. Like, my underlying cause, my mother's mentally ill, and I was an only child, so it was just me.
So if she got control of her mental illness, do you think the depression would have gone away?
If someone in my life had told me, like, hey, your mom's crazy and not you,
oh,
it would have alleviated a ton of my suffering. I had no idea.
The way I understand depression is it's like a sprain for your brain. Like whatever it is that gets you into thinking that way, let's say your mom being depressed.
Yeah.
Starts you off that way, and it's just like it doesn't even matter anymore what the call, like let's say it was a big tackle that sprained my leg. No one else is tackling me, but if I don't put a splint on my leg, it'll just stay sprained for years.
So
it's like that with your brain.
You circle on it. You cycle.
Yeah, whatever it is. Your dad died. Let's just say, and then you get over it, but then you just stay in this depressed state.
Yeah, because you're fixated because you're not over the issue.
It might have been my wife leaving. I don't know what it was.
Oh, for sure.
It might have been that, or might have been. I don't know. But it's like whatever it is, it gets you in there, and then you can't shake it.
Dude, it's for sure divorce.
Maybe. Especially like living with somebody than not living with somebody.
Oh, they say that divorce is like the most traumatizing thing.
Kevin Christie's father said, and I fought him on it for a while until I had my first like really bad breakup. He said his divorce was worse than Vietnam. And I was like, dude, he's crazy. Just overly emotionalizing that. There's no way. Like he served in Vietnam and he had a divorce. He did both those things.
Yeah, war's pretty real. I mean, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
I went to Afghanistan in June and I just got to see like a glimpse of war. Like I saw some bodies burned and I was like, wow, this is the most terrible thing I've ever seen.
And imagine saying someone Vietnam saying something like, no. It's worse than that. It was, my experience in Vietnam was not as bad as my divorce.
I believe it. I've watched my parents go through two each.
Oh, really?
And it fucks up everybody. And for a long time, it takes years to get over. I think my dad's finally over his last one, which was 3 years ago.
I didn't want to tell anybody that she'd moved out.
Yeah.
So I just like lived like 9 months not inviting anyone to my apartment just because I didn't want anyone to know she wasn't there yet.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was really weird. And then I wouldn't clean. I just got in a mood of never cleaning.
Oh, that's what I go to a lot, as you can tell by our house.
This is so clean to me. This is messy. Like for a girl living here, this is messy.
Well, because I'm not really a girl. I'm not good at being a girl.
This is like as clean as Moshe Kasher's place.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, but he's like somewhat tidy.
Yeah, but can I tell you, I don't give a shit. Like, I just can't be bothered.
Your flowers fake.
No, those are real. I got those from Trader Joe's. Oh, nice. But I just can't, you know what I mean? My brain is wired such that I don't give a shit.
Yeah, that was the thing.
I can't see it. I don't
fucking
care.
Like, the stock's on the floor.
And
you'd be like, I don't care. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm gonna what else go, do you observe?
Right. I'm going to go out and do a set, or I'm going to write something, or I'm going to create, like, I'm going to do a podcast with my friend Ari as opposed to, like, spend hours cleaning shit. I don't care.
Do you think that's because of depression, too?
I think it's a lack of respect for my surroundings.
Because you do feel so much better when you do clean it. Yeah, and you, let's say you clean it right before you go on the road and you come home and you're like,
Yeah. I should do that, but I don't. Yeah.
Probably because of remnants of depression. What is it?
No, I think Tom and I are both lazy so that when we are home, we don't want to spend our time doing it. And he's a pig and I'm a pig. And together, it's just like exponential pig power.
Yeah.
I mean, I cleaned up for you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, this is like...
Is that the chair with piles of...
That's Tommy's shit.
Oh.
His fucking... All of his laundry, it's clean, but he doesn't fold it. He just keeps it in piles like a dog.
No clean laundry. That's how I'm convinced I'm going to die.
In a pile? A
pile of clean laundry is going to collapse on me and bury me.
Do you sleep in it? Like, are you like a hoarder?
I am a hoarder. There used to be a time where... Yeah. I had to fight myself hard on it. Like, hard I had to fight.
What do you hoard most?
Clothes. I can't ever get rid of like clothes. T-shirts just pile up. And people are like, are you ever going to wear this? I'm like, maybe.
From when you were in Kibbutz?
Overalls from like stuff my goth for acting class once. I might use it for a sketch one day. Like, you don't film sketches. You don't ever do sketches. Why are you holding stuff for that?
But that's when you need it for is a silly sketch. I know. Yeah. I've had to go out and rebuy shit. I'm like, I had a fucking dragon suit. I had the lizard costume. And then
if I could see wearing it a lot, I could see it. I was just going to suggest more one.
Yeah, here you go, buddy.
We're not going to do a reality show, by the way, on this. I've already decided we're going to do depression. That's going to be the focus of this
one. I could talk about depression all day. Do you want to lean back on a pillow?
No, I lean on this sometimes. I like it here.
Yeah, I could talk about... I'm fascinated with depression, mental illness, because I'm really into psychotherapy. Right? Like, I've been doing it for 2 years, so I'm really into it.
So this therapist? What's a psychotherapy? Same shit?
No.
What's the difference?
Well, from my understanding... My psychotherapist has a fucking PhD and awesome. Like, she studied for years and years.
Yeah.
I do think it's from the Freud school of psychoanalysis. Like, they go back into Freudian stuff.
So you lie back and they tell you, and you talk?
No, I don't lie back. You just talk, but it's a lot of it is like association. Like, for instance, I had a problem with an employee at this club I was at. For some reason, this guy...
At a comedy club?
Comedy club, yeah. Just bugged the fucking piss out of me.
Did he try to fuck you?
No, yeah. Sorry, yes. Creepy, just kind of inappropriate, saying things. And and the whole thing is like, well, what does that make you think of? What does that remind you of? And then you figure out...
So he'll say things like that?
No, my son... Yeah, it's a she. Sorry, okay. My therapist.
Wait. She graduated from graduate school? Is this she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Is the blood rushing to your head again?
No, that's cool.
Do you need to sit down?
No, it's the 90s.
You need to relax. Cool. It's the
90s. Everything's happening. Mm-hmm. So,
and then she goes, well, what does that remind? Does that make you think? What comes to mind when you're reminded of this person or the situation?
Yeah.
And then I'll say, oh, actually, you know, it's funny. One time when I was 7, there was this guy in my apartment building or whatever, and he was kind of an asshole to me. Really? Well, let's talk about that. It turns out that most of the shit that happens to you in your present day life, there's usually like a link to something that happened in your childhood or adolescence or somewhere in your early development, and that's what triggers your emotional response to
that's
something.
That's what Scientology says.
Engrams. No, I know. I started reading about this. I know. But they're wackier about it.
I went with Natasha once to like that you can go to like the preview video.
Yeah.
Like, hello, let's tell you what we're about.
Yeah.
And it was all these like actors that you sort of recognized from the early 80s. Yeah. And all the clothes were very clearly of the 80s. Like, that's when this thing was shot. But it was always like, okay, you have a weird thing around so-and-so. Yeah. What is it? And you have to go back in time. Like, oh, I lost my catcher's mitt. My mom yelled at me outside a supermarket. Right. So when I go to supermarkets, I feel weird.
Right. And they say that those create engrams or like imprints in your brain.
Yeah.
So you have to go back. This is Scientology. Go back and then like relive the painful memory.
Relive it?
And relive the emotions of the trauma that introduced that originally.
Yeah.
And then by reliving the emotion, you set that thing free. That's what the Scientologists believe.
Because you realize, oh, this is what it's over.
It's the original trauma. Correct. Yeah. And I think my understanding of psychoanalysis is that that's kind of what I do. Like, if something bugs you about somebody today, it's never about that person.
Right.
Or it can be, yes. But generally, it's an association of somebody earlier who introduced that bullshit to you.
Yeah. I remember Doug Benson. I used to really not like him.
Right.
And it was because he was whatever age he was, 39, 40, right close to where I am now. And he was dating really young women. And at the time, I was still based on my conservative like upbringing. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, I don't want to be that guy who's still trying to, not because it's like skeevy, but just because it seems sad to me.
Yeah.
That you still like haven't found a wife and had kids, you know, and you're still trying to date. It just sort of seems sad. And I was like, I don't want to be that guy.
And that's
I was so afraid of becoming that guy.
You.
Yeah, that's what bothered me, because I was afraid of becoming that guy. And then I realized I don't have to become that guy. He can still be like that and it won't have anything to do with me.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, oh, that guy's cool. I totally like him. And then I realized, oh, I have become that guy and I'm fine with it. I like younger women. They're fun. They're more interesting. I'm totally okay with it.
But my dad...
probably somebody hates me for the same reason now.
Wait, who does?
Some new comic who's like, what's he doing?
Well, of course.
Get a family.
But it's not really about you.
Me.
It's what you represent to that person. You know what, though? My dad
I
got to
call Doug and apologize.
I know. Sorry, Doug.
Another thing I'll write down on this.
He's like the coolest, nicest.
He's so cool.
I know. But 20-year-olds have their own problems, you know, because my dad was dating girls in their 20s and he's like 65.
What?
Yeah.
And who has their own problems?
The girls do. Here's the problem with 20-year-olds when you're older.
Yeah, you need more Barbie dolls and you haven't gotten them yet. You don't want the whole house. Ken has a new car you haven't gotten.
Well, here's the thing. Like, those broads, they all want to have kids. And
no, the young ones?
Well, no, sorry, not 20, but eventually they will. So, like, if you get hooked up with them.
No, people like you always want to have kids.
Do I have any?
No.
Well, okay, then. Tommy wants them more than I do right now. Like, he's gotten
a monster growing inside your belly.
I know. It's so scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
It terrifies me. I mean, it's so scary to think.
Also, here's another thing to think about.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, Yeah. Like, there's zero doubts that I, you know, sometimes like, oh, I've heard that argument, but sometimes like, no, no, this, it's this way. You will, in some way, fuck that kid up.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yes. No, but we all, nobody's a perfect parent.
Yeah.
You're going to create holes in that kid's.
So like, why even get into it? There's plenty of kids. There's plenty. We need way fewer kids. We have an overpopulation problem in the world.
That's what Tom Likas used to say.
On Earth, that's our biggest problem.
You sound like Tom Likas. This is his philosophy. That's not his
philosophy. No, I'm trying to do the impression that what's his name does.
What?
Who's that guy who does all the great impressions?
Really? That's what Tom Likas used to do.
Really?
Do you care?
Who's that guy who does all the great impressions? He's an alternative comic. Someone with an A. He did a George Bush that was really good. He does a Likas that's really good. He's in the alt scene.
I don't follow it that much.
Fuck, he's like the impressions. They had a cover of the LA Weekly once, and it was him, Aziz, and like maybe Kate McCucci. It was like four people. And they had like the Joker, the impressionist, the clown, and the whatever. It was like the alternative comedy.
I don't even know who Kate McCucci is.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure. Sorry. I'm on the road, man. I'm out. I'm out of the LA scene.
I've always been an LA comic.
I've always been an LA comic. Nope, hello. I'm on the road now, last few years.
Yeah, that's what I've become, a road comic.
I love it. Don't you like it?
It's great. But I like being around the LA comedy scene.
Yeah.
People I know that like talk shit about people, like, you got to be around the scene. See people like Pete Holmes and Kyle Kinane all the time.
I love Kyle Kinane.
Yeah, and like all these guys that are doing, Sebastian is like on fire.
I love Sebastian.
It's like I can watch him and just laugh.
Me too. I watched his special.
How was it?
I thought it was phenomenal. Yeah. He talks about the checkout thing where you have to self-checkout. And
really?
He's like, I don't know how to do this.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't properly trained.
I will always steal one thing. At the self-checkout. If I buy a lot.
I'm always tempted to. And then I'm scared. What if they check? What if this time's a time?
Yeah.
You're not afraid?
No, I'm like, I've rubbed it. What?
Have you ever been caught stealing, though?
Once. My sister intercepted the shoplift. I used to be a shoplifter when I was little.
Yeah, me too. What did you like to steal?
Whatever was there. I would justify it to be like, this costs too much, and that's why I'm stealing it.
Well, what was your biggest heist?
Like, they'd be like, well, let's say there'd be a deck of cards, a novelty deck of cards, or a pen that had, I was big into Gumby, so it was a Gumby pen.
Okay.
But it'd be like $7.99. I'm like, for a pen? It should be $2.99. I'm like, oh, exactly. I can't afford that. I'm stealing it.
That's justified then.
I stole once. I was a big North Carolina Tar Heels fan. And there was a pair.
Is that a sports team?
Yeah, it's a college, and they had a basketball team that's always really good.
Okay.
And I stole a pair of Carolina Tar Heels sunglasses. Oh, my mom was 3 feet in front of me.
Wow.
We were like walking out. I saw it. I grabbed it. She was just walking ahead. So I just took it. I was like, okay. But I was like, this is such a huge risk. If I get caught leaving here now, but there's no tag. I'm like, she's with me.
Yeah, dude.
I got a call once from CVS. People's Drug. It became CVS. And my sister intercepted it.
Lucky.
Acted like my mother.
Lucky.
I got to call her too and thank her for that. All these things.
Look at you, man.
I got to call Doug and say I'm sorry. I got to call my sister.
Because that's how everyone gets pinched. That's how you get caught is when you go to the pharmacy. Mm-hmm. That's how my friend Wendy got caught stealing nail polish. I was with her. And they will always get you because there's a lot of surveillance at pharmacies.
Yeah.
All these, they used to have those like mirrored glass, you know, above at the Thrifties or the CVS. That's all surveillance.
I saw somebody once get caught for shoplifting, some old lady.
Oh, awesome.
This is when I was already a shoplifter, but I was like 15, 16. And she got caught with a bunch of stuff in her purse, checking out with a few things, a bunch of more stuff in her purse. I'm like, ma'am, can we see your purse? She goes, no. Ma'am, we're not letting you leave the store until you empty out your purse. She goes, this is preposterous. I've done nothing. It was one of those, but she like refused to acknowledge it.
Oh.
But she eventually emptied her purse. There was a bunch of stolen shit in there. She was like, this is wrong what you're doing. She's yelling at them. And I was like, look at that shoplifter. And refusing to point the finger back to myself. I'm like, Ari, you do that.
Mm. Now but your parents are like super Jews, so.
They're Orthodox Jews.
Had you been caught, what would be the punishment they tie you up to a tree?
It wouldn't be higher for being Jews. It'd be higher for them being just conservative people.
They're Orthodox? Is that like the Hasidic people with the curly Qs?
It's like
Qs?
One step below. I had that when I was in Israel a little bit.
Because I just watched the Oprah Winfrey special where she interviews a bunch of Hasidic people.
Really?
In Brooklyn.
Really?
It was fascinating. Yeah.
I met a few in Minneapolis. They invited me over to their house for Shabbat lunch. And I almost went, but then I was like, I don't have a car. And they seemed super cool after the show on like Wednesday or Thursday. I was like, maybe I should go.
Yeah.
Eat some cholent.
I don't know what that is.
Just a stew that's Ashkenazic Jews eat, like Eastern European Jews eat.
Oh.
But then I was like, what if I hate it? I'm not going to be able to get out of there. And I pussed out. I should have gone. Those people are cool.
Well, because then it's annoying. Then it's a commitment of like 2 hours of...
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, and the anxiety.
I need to start doing that more, don't you think? Just like have an experiment, right? Like that?
Really cutesy. Okay. It looks so good for you.
It looks really right.
That's amazing.
Yeah. My hair's so long now. I put the rest on my head. They would tie it around their ears like this.
I love that look.
Ugh.
I grew up with a ton of Jewish kids in my neighborhood. But can I tell you something? They're not that different, the Hasidics. I mean, Oprah made it sound like they're space aliens. Like,
nope.
Next. Okay, big deal. They don't watch TV. That's the big whoop-de-doo. You don't watch television? Well, who gives a shit? I mean, what are
your kids? Touch women.
Well, I don't know that.
We're not supposed to either. Orthodox Jews... one step below, also they wouldn't touch women.
Well, same with Muslims. You're not supposed to... a woman's not supposed to touch a man that's not her husband.
Those people have the rules of Nagia that apply to them.
Oh, I don't know.
You're allowed to touch your sister, your mom, your daughter. Sister, mom, daughter, wife. That's it.
But even married couples, they can only touch... They can't touch in front of the kids or something?
They can touch.
And in public, they can't touch, is what she was saying.
That's more of like a sneeze thing, of like a shame thing.
Mm.
You can touch.
And then the menstruation thing.
Then you're not allowed to have any contact.
Yeah, and for 2 weeks you can't bone.
Yeah. As soon as a woman starts to bleed.
Yeah.
I want to say this because it's so fucking great. As soon as a woman starts to bleed.
Yeah.
That's it. No contact. So married people have twin beds they put together.
Okay.
And when she's bleeding, they put separate, like twin mattress covers on each of them instead of a joint. It's kind of a queen. And then they just push them apart.
Yeah, good. She's unclean.
7 days after the last time she's seen blood. Whatever that is. So you bleed for 4 days, you spot for 2 days. After the last day of spotting.
Look at you know the whole...
Yeah, I'm super into women's vaginas. I love getting in there. So...
spotting, look at you, Ari.
After 7 days, you got to take a ritualistic cleaning bath.
Saw that on Oprah. They went into the special bath.
Yeah.
It has to be special water.
It has to be a certain amount, 40... oh, God, how do I remember this? Pot has made my short-term memory go down so far. My long-term memory shot up. Yeah. 40 amos of, that's the amount of water.
40 amos?
It's an Aramaic term for amount of things. 40 amos of water.
Yeah.
That's a natural clean, so it has to be like, or you can go to like an ocean or a lake. Be fine.
It's cold though, the bath that they have to take. It sucks.
Yeah.
But you just dip in. The lady was like, oh, I just dip in. And then you
like one quick baptism, you're clean.
Clear yourself, and now you can fuck.
And right after that? Right after the 5 days of bleeding and 7 days of 7 clean days and a day of, is when you are most fertile.
Right.
So you haven't fucked for 12 to 14 days and you are the most fertile.
Right.
It is completely set up for childbearing.
Of course. Yeah. Well, these broads all had like 9 kids, 7 kids.
That's what they want. That's what it is.
But you know what? It's interesting. I found that the man is not the primary breadwinner because he's a religious guy. And the women actually can sometimes earn more outside
sometimes.
Of the home.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like a normal thing, but sometimes. But they don't care. Cool. Whoever earns more money, just do it.
But you know what? That whole ovulation thing, that's just the rhythm method. And Catholics use that too. So that's not such a bananas concept to abstain.
During the
opposite. Yes. Yeah, right. So you would abstain during ovulation if you wanted to prevent. But
that's when a girl's like, no, God, I'm about to start my period. Like, fuck. Okay.
But I think God punishes you either way.
Oh, yeah, the punishment.
You're supposed to fuck for...
Here's what happens, my favorite. What happens when you're fucking and she starts bleeding right then.
Uh-oh.
Because that could happen.
Yeah.
She starts her period while you're inside.
Sure.
You're not supposed to pull out. You're supposed to stop. Completely stop. Look up and away. This is assuming that the only position they do is missionary. Okay. Look up and away. And only think about the grace and fury of God... The two of you have lost your strength. I think that's how they put it. Which means you lose your boner and then pull out.
Wow. Just like when you have to think of your country for England, right? You have to.
Before you fuck?
No, they tell the women that you're supposed to bear it when your husband has sex with you. You're just supposed to think of your country.
For your country.
That's terrible.
Forgotten country.
Wait, but do you think those Hasidics, they must only do it missionary? I mean, Oprah didn't. If that were my interview, that's the first question I would have been like,
well, so how do you do it?
Do you guys like bang it out? Do you crush it? You know, like, how do you, can you get, you're married. It's okay. God wants you to fuck now.
Yeah. That's a mitzvah. That's a good it's deed. A one of the 613 good deeds you can do.
That's right.
Or deeds you can do. Is one, that's one.
Do you think they do? Other than different missionary? Styles?
Yeah.
I'd feel guilty though.
Because they must get into it a little bit. Also, here's the thing, more and more now, you're met with ideas of other positions.
Oh, right, yeah.
So you know they're out there. But like 100 years ago, they weren't really. It might be just like, however you do it. Girl on top, that's like, wait, what? And we ain't doing that.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to have... A friend of mine actually was dating a rabbi.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
She was in... You don't know her. She was doing the Kabbalah back when Kabbalah was trendy. Popular.
Okay, so you know somebody who's dating...
Yes, I know someone's dating a rabbi. Yeah. And she was very smitten with him and very taken and was even considering like marrying this guy. But then that's such like a severe life change. That's a little too much. I don't think I could have sex with a holy man. I would. How do you like get over that?
Yeah, it would like bother you for too long.
But I do like that about the Jews is that you guys don't have the same shame and guilt associated with sex.
Catholics?
Yeah, no. We have the worst. You're Catholics Catholic. Are the worst. Yes.
Yeah, no, we don't have that. It's like... No, it's a commandment. Fuck your wife is a commandment.
It should be.
Yeah.
And not only that,
like you're doing a good deed. If you fuck your wife on Shabbat on Friday night, that's a double.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, like you're like super. Like do it now, bro. Yeah.
But who better?
I don't think they use the word fuck in the Talmud, but no, like probably along not. Those lines.
But who better to give you advice about relationships and love and marriage than a guy
who's married?
Who is fucking married. Yeah,
who knows about women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the nuns who, you know, I went to Catholic school and I appreciate them. But who are they to tell me about love?
Like, you don't know shit. You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know a fucking thing, man. Because they live such sheltered lives. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. We should change it all.
Change what all?
There's no religion that I feel pretty good with. I mean, change it all. Like, we should change Catholicism and Judaism.
I'm convinced. I have this thing. I have to talk to Brett Ernst about it. He's the only one that's offered any sort of argument why you shouldn't be. But at this point, the Catholics have had so many problems with child raping that you can't be a Catholic anymore. Like, I mean, like, not like people shouldn't be. Like, everyone who's Catholic should say, I am no longer Catholic and become Protestant or non-denominational Christian or like... Like the people in charge of Catholicism are covering up child rapes. And it's not like, it happened one time. It's happened for like nearly 600, 700 years.
It's like systematic.
Yeah. Like this is your organization. Your organization, they do stuff where they give to people and they also rape children and cover that up and make sure it happens more.
Yeah. It's like a given.
Yeah.
It's part of the thing.
They transfer priests, not fire them, but transfer them to rape other communities.
It's so awful.
And this community found out you've been fucking kids against the kids' wills. So go to Toledo.
And just go somewhere else. Go rape some other kids in some other neighborhood.
I'm like, that's what you're signing up for.
I know. It's so awful. It is. But it's.
You can't be cut. You just can't do it.
I can't practice.
You can still worship Jesus. Go a different way to do it. I'm sorry. I get so worked up about it. It's just so wrong to do it only because you were raised that way.
And all it is a traditional thing for me. Like, it's just, I don't go every Sunday. I don't.
Yeah.
But because you're raised a certain way, it's just who you are, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Even if a bunch of priests had done it and got caught and the Catholic Church had been like, we are against that and we will fire them and you should press full charges against them. That's like, but there's been like 100 priests who did it. You're like, yeah, but that's not the Catholic Church doing it. When they cover it up, that's the Catholic Church doing
it. I know.
It.
And the problem is there's nothing...
If a rabbi gets caught fucking some kid, he gets fired and thrown in jail.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. And the head rabbis are like, that's not what we wanted him to do.
We don't condone kid fucking.
That's wrong.
That's the Catholics.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't know why they cover it up. I don't know why it's swept under the rug. I'm not sure what that is. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why they can't just be like, this guy's a piece of shit. He's out of the system.
Yeah.
But what do you do about pedophilia? There's no
Well, as a society, cure. We've agreed now. I don't know what it was then, but now we've agreed that we will not tolerate it.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst things you can do. It's worse
it
than
is the worst
regular
thing.
Rape. It's worse than Absolutely. Murder. Even though that kid will go on, I think it's treated as worse than murder.
Well, I think it, I mean, it destroys their life for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. You've ruined a human life.
I dated a girl who, well, I went out with a couple times. That was, she won a settlement from the Catholic Church.
You're kidding.
Uh-uh.
Oh, my God.
Just a couple times.
Yeah, but that doesn't
But make it's like, yeah,
anything.
It fucks you up a little bit. But murder's worse, right?
No, I'd rather
They're
be...
They're dead forever.
Yeah, but I honestly...
Would you have rather been murdered or raped when you were little?
Murdered.
You'd rather say...
I'd fuck it. What kind of life will I have having been
You have
tortured?
Some sort of life.
Yeah, but I don't want to relive it. I don't want to...
Oh, right.
Yeah, but I feel like unless you're Oprah Winfrey and you've transcended your childhood so much...
Is she raped?
Oh, yeah, she
That's
was...
That's why she did The Color Purple, because she was like, this is my life.
Yeah, she was raped from the time she was 9 to 14, and then she was 14 years old, had the baby dies. It was like a tragic...
The rapist baby?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
Oh.
And you're like, wow, that's... I mean, she turned her lemons into lemonade, but most people don't. Most people just go on to have shitty, shitty adulthoods.
Yeah, just suck it up and just like, nah, just get angry at you once in a while for no reason.
Yeah.
Just like, affect my relationship for the worse.
Just sabotage myself and do heroin. And
That's the worst too, when guys are like, why is she mad at me all of a sudden? Like, oh, because of some teacher who gave her a bad grade when she was 9. That's was nothing great. To do with you, bro.
It's
yeah.
so true, though.
She had a crush on somebody who yelled at her, and now you're fucked.
It's so true.
Yeah.
But you like crazy chicks, don't you?
I like the other parts of the chicks that are crazy. I don't like the side effect of craziness. The cool
understand.
Things about chicks,
mm-hmm.
they like to fuck at movie theaters. they're right. fun. Like, that shit is fun. I don't like right. the, why are you crying? We're just watching South Park. Why are you crying?
That's a huge downside, my
yeah,
man.
That's that's a bad part.
Isn't that an incentive to date
boring.
Slightly older?
Oh, there's nice things about older girls.
Well, older, but also like 28, is that what we're talking about?
That's pushing it. That is the top of my line.
Are you serious?
28 is about as old as old
I girl. Must be like dead, retirement age.
Non-sexual.
35? Oh, yeah, I'm totally
you
out.
You and B. Arthur are the same, in the same category
alive?
To me. Betty White, whichever one. Betty
oh,
White.
I like Betty White. I'll take Betty White.
Yeah, you're in Betty White's range to me.
Oh my God.
Also, you're dating a friend of mine, so it's like.
Dating, married.
But same shit. It doesn't matter. Whatever.
It's totally different. By the way, it's yeah. totally different. You know that. That's a myth that guys tell girls. They're like, why should we get married? It's not as totally.
It is the same stuff.
It's not.
Living same. With somebody, that's the big thing.
Living with somebody changes it, yeah. But it's not the same as marriage when you merge money
like,
and.
You go bigger. Do you guys
family?
Merge money?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm weird. A lot of people I know, they don't.
I know.
And then it becomes a problem about fighting about money. But it's like, wait, why? If you've got more, you pay the rent for a while. And then if you've got more, then you pay the rent for a while. It's like, together, we have to pay the rent.
but I don't understand, like, I never understood this, why people hate who they're married to. Like, yeah. you know, you can pick who you marry,
also,
right?
You can just get divorced. You can end it.
Right.
You can be like, you don't have to be that anymore.
Right. Or this isn't India where this shit's prearranged.
Oh, yeah,
like,
exactly.
You can pick and
get
choose.
Get someone better.
Yeah. You can date them for years. You can figure mm-hmm. out if they have poor financial decisions or problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then not marry them. You know, you don't have to marry any douchebag that's willing. Like, I just... Because, yeah. you know, you do the road and you see these couples and they're
people
just so
do, they
fucking
just
miserable.
Fall into it.
Yeah.
Forget about if you get someone knocked up. That happens.
That, absolutely,
And
yeah.
that's like, yeah, your life is ruined. But I see a reason for it.
That's true.
You couldn't convince her to get an abortion. So now this is your punishment for the next 25 years.
Ugh.
And you're going to have more, too.
Could you? I think that is the biggest life ruiner.
There's a bartender
Wait, what's the biggest
in Minneapolis
life
at Brunson's House of Comedy.
Yeah.
And he got his girlfriend pregnant when she was young. And it was like... Now, guess what? You're fucked forever. Randomly. And it's because... remember when you were 16, you learned to drive?
Yeah.
Is it 16 here?
Yeah. 15, you learn to drive. 16, you get your license.
License, yeah. You speed like crazy.
Yeah.
Because you're a 16-year-old white person.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's nothing that can happen bad to me.
I got an 87 Chevy Nova, yeah.
Yeah. And you go 1,000 miles an hour at every turn. And one out of the generation dies on prom or whatever. But
right.
generally, you're all fine. But you could have easily gotten into a horrible accident.
Oh, for sure.
And killed some mother, run over a kid, and had your license revoked forever, and your life would have been changed drastically forever
mm-hmm.
for doing the same actions as someone else did.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Like, I've fucked without condoms plenty of times. A couple girls got pregnant. Ugh. Luckily, they did the right thing.
Right.
But you get caught, and so, and then you're just like, now I'm just.
But isn't that
changed?
But isn't that all of life? It's,
yeah,
it's
caught in bad situations.
That and luck of the dice, like
yeah, my, that's all it is.
Oh, it is. We could be right now, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
We could be sitting in Afghanistan in a mud hut, throwing rocks at each other. Or you're throwing a rock at me, and I'm in a burqa. Instead of two wonderful white people sitting here in my living room mm-hmm. in a hipster neighborhood eating cheese and crackers. And doing a lovely podcast.
Triple used to have this amazing, amazing bit. You got to do it again about who's a super hot chick and married Brad Pitt?
Oh, Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie, yeah. And she adopted that Asian kid, that Cambodian kid.
Maddox.
Maddox, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super cute on the covers of everything. It's like, yeah, that's such a cute little baby. Ethnic kids are so cute.
They're the best.
Under five, you definitely want an ethnic kid. Over five, white.
Little black babies are the cutest thing ever.
Mm-hmm. My brother always said, I want a black baby to morph into a white adult.
Me too. That'd yeah. be the best of both worlds.
The best. Black babies are
for
so
him.
Cool.
Yeah, they are cool.
Remember in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when they replaced the baby 1 year and it was like a different mom or something? And the baby comes out between year one, he was like 0 to 1. Then the next season started and he was like 4.
I never watched that piece of shit show.
Really?
Fuck that show. I never bought it. I never bought Will Smith. I didn't fucking he
oh,
has
wow.
no
you were
soul.
Young then too.
Fuck that show. I mean, I watch a lot of dog shit. I'm not saying that I didn't watch everything yeah. else. I didn't watch Saved by the Bell. I didn't watch The Fresh Prince.
Yeah,
they're too fraudulent for me. Give me real. Give
well,
me Webster.
They had this. They had a.
That's a
dead the mom.
Wait, but what was the bit? You didn't tell me. Oh, that's the bit with the black kid growing into. A
no,
white.
That's not it. Well, first, Fresh Prince, then I'll tell you the triple. Yeah. So I get so sidetracked on these. By the way, this is about depression. Fucking wine. They had a baby in year, let's say year 3. Mom had a baby.
Okay.
During the year.
Okay.
So this baby is whatever. The second next year starts, and they'd replace the mom, then come back to the first mom or something like that.
Oh
or,
my God.
And somebody made a joke about the show. They're like, oh, is the mom looking the same? Like a joke, like. No referencing whatever, and this 3 or 4 year old black kid comes over and goes, "Same mom," and like, oh, that's the kid that was born 5 months ago. That's a little 4 year old kid. He became 4. Anyway, Chipley's bit was like, "This kid Cam, what is his name?
Maddox.
Is going to grow up not knowing who he is and going like, I don't know who I am. I'm part Cambodian, am I yeah. white, or I don't have no sense of self." He goes, "Don't worry about who you are." Worry about who you could have been.
Oh.
You were an orphanage right next to some other cute Cambodian kid, and you got the fucking Beverly Hills mansion, and yeah. he got 2 sucks for $1.
Yeah.
Because that's...
Yeah.
He's in an orphanage of Cambodia. His life is going to suck.
Yeah. I mean...
Just like that.
What do you think of the probability of you and me even existing and sitting here together at this point in time? Like, it's pretty bananas that your mom... And your dad fucked, and your dad jizzed inside of your mom, and then you came out, and then you got weird and suicidal and cut yourself, and then my dad jizzed in my mom, escaped from Hungary, moved here.
Escaped from Hungary?
Cut myself, and now we're talking about it.
Your dad escaped from Hungary?
Both my parents did. They escaped in 1969 during communism.
Oh, Ceausescu? No, it's Romania.
That's Romania, but the Russians were destroying all of Central and Eastern Europe, fucking everything up.
My dad is from Hungary, Romania.
No.
Yeah, they escaped... For a different reason.
You're lying.
No.
Your dad?
My dad is born in Transylvania. Or
shut the front door, Ari Shaffir.
Yeah.
Wait, so when did they escape? What year?
They didn't escape. They were liberated. I'm sorry.
Oh.
from Nazi-occupied Hungary.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. But then they moved to Israel afterwards.
I hate to admit it, but the Hungarians were like very aggressive Jew killers. Like we were really good at it. Yeah.
Oh.
We were really on board with that
agenda. Yeah, that's what my dad said about my grandmother. Like, although they were ready for it to start. Like, in some countries, like, they're like, oh, we'll try to hide you as best we can. Yeah. But some countries, like, yeah, hey, Nazis, we're waiting. Get in here. We'll start for you.
Yeah. Hungary had a welcome mat.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we fed them dinner and then killed you guys pretty. Yeah, we were bad Jew killers. But then, don't worry, because the communists came, the Russians came after the Germans and completely destroyed our country.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So there you go.
Good.
Yeah, you
good.
Win.
That makes me feel nice.
Yeah, they fucked everything up. So my father grew up in the system, so did my mother, hated it, and served in the military. You know, they make you do this stupid obligatory service.
Yeah, I did in Israel, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, there, though, they need you to fight for their existence.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Yeah, people want to also. They lie if they have some medical problem.
Really?
They lie about it so they can get in.
I feel like I would want to as well. If
everyone serves,
yeah.
You don't want to be the guy who's just going behind a desk.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, you have flat feet, you don't have to. And they're like, no, take the test again.
But I kind of feel like America, if we did that, this country would be way different.
It would be.
If they're like, for 2 years after high school,
service.
You either, drive a fucking ambulance, go build schools, learn a trade, do something to give back to your community. It
or
would
like,
change it.
Or like, what's the stuff you go to like Uganda and build homes?
Oh, yeah, like Peace Corps shit.
Peace Corps, yeah. If like you some sort of forced not labor, but like this is what we expect of you and this is our law.
Yeah.
We would be more together. It'd be less freedom, but it'd be more togetherness.
Well, instead of like just go to a college and then get hammered for two years and smoke pot and read philosophy, like go do something that's going to matter to somebody
else. I'll tell you this. Israel's small, but not so small that it's like a city. It's the size of New Jersey.
No, really?
Yeah.
I've never been. I want to go.
But like, oh, it's great. Go on one of Avi Lieberman's trips. I'm too dirty.
He has a trip. He does like
tours.
But I'm not a Jew.
What's his name went from The Office, the black guy?
Craig Ferguson.
Craig. What?
Craig Shoemaker.
No.
Craig. God damn it. What's his name with the keyboard?
Yeah. Craig. Damn it.
Mother cunts.
I always forget his name.
Craig Kilborn.
Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson.
I always think a W is in there. That's my problem. I'm always thinking W, but it's not. It's Craig Robinson. He's so cool, and I always forget his name when I'm referencing him.
I know.
Fuck me. Buddy. Anyway, it's okay.
Don't be mad.
But he went. Ian Edwards went. If they're taking blacks, they're taking you.
I love Ian. But the blacks and the Jews get along.
Yeah, you just got to be clean. Can you be clean?
Nah, not for long.
He said it's like 12. There's like 12 stops, and like most of them you can do whatever you want, but it's like three of them are like it's super religious, so you have to be.
No,
like,
I won't do it. I can't do that. Kill myself.
Yeah.
You know what though? I did the Middle East twice now. I'm not sure if I can go back.
You didn't enjoy it?
The first time I did the Gulf countries.
Yeah.
I got to go to Saudi Arabia even, which was pretty crazy.
That's cool.
But
is that where they have the slaves?
Do they have public executions in Saudi Arabia?
Did you see one?
I wanted to, but they wouldn't let. They wouldn't let us do it.
Because you're a woman?
Because I'm a woman, because I'm a Westerner, and there was also like a terrorist threat. The prince, a guy came into
the
palace
someone for?
And put a bomb in his ass and exploded himself in front of this prince, so we couldn't go out into Saudi Arabia, into Riyadh.
What was the guy?
Oh, the crucifixion guy?
What?
The guy who was crucified?
They crucified someone?
Oh, yeah. They have public crucifixion.
They put him up on a cross?
Uh-huh. In Saudi. They do it every Friday. It's called like Chopping Block Friday or Thursday. Chop Chop Friday.
It's like Two for Tuesdays on K-Rock.
Yeah. And they encourage people to come out and watch the spectacle.
I would go too. I wouldn't be like, this is awesome. But no. I'd be like, I need to see this as a human. Like, this is going on.
Yeah.
I need to see what it's like to be watching this.
That was my thinking, but it was forbidden. Because back in the day, before we had, prisons, that was the deterrent mechanism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come and watch the public execution. If you steal, guess
what?
That's right. And guess what? It kind of worked.
Yeah. It's too far. It was like, that's too much liberty to give up for stealing, but like, it worked. It deterred.
It kind of.
Yeah.
Wasn't that bad of an idea. Just like with pedophiles, we should just rip their balls off, don't you think?
Watch them rip their balls off?
Yeah. I mean,
pedophiles is a tough one because that seems to be a sickness that. Like I said, we've all agreed as a society, we will not put up with that.
Right.
But they can't help it.
Right. They can't help
it. They love it.
There's no rehabilitation.
Yeah. I blame the priests themselves for the Catholics less than the Catholic Church itself. Because they have, they're just sick.
Oh, I blame the church.
Catholic Church, they don't have problems. Why are you covering it up? You're getting involved for no reason.
Wait, I blame the churches for covering it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More than the priests who are just sick.
Yeah, sorry, I do agree with you. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm drinking too much. Yeah, no, I agree with you on that, yeah. But anyway, back to the Middle East. And then I did Afghanistan and that like really, if you talk about depression, go to Afghanistan and go do some time over there and that's the heart of darkness. Like,
why?
I feel like it cured me of all depression.
Why?
Because I fucking saw things, like when you see atrocity and you see horror up close, you kind of go, oh, that's where my misery lives. Like I can put a physical place to where all that sadness is inside of me, and for me it lives in Afghanistan. Like, it's, I came back like Travis Bickle a little bit. I was
really
like, Well, in the sense where you're just, you see civilians and you're like, why are you complaining that your fucking Starbucks latte isn't hot enough? Like, I drove to Vegas when I came back from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And I heard these two fat cunts in a gas station, and they were complaining. They're like, this bathroom's not clean enough. I can't pee in here. And I was like, motherfucker, a week ago I was in Afghanistan and I had to shit into a plastic bag and throw that plastic bag into fucking fire to dispose of it. And that's what a lot of guys are doing tonight. Right now, Americans, kids are doing that to defend your country.
Okay, how long ago did you go
there? Fuck you, in June.
In June?
Yeah, last June.
Right now, if you went into a filthy bathroom at a gas station, would you use it?
Absolutely.
You'd use it?
I don't give a fuck. You don't sit on it. You hover.
Oh, you hover. Okay.
Yeah. I've done it
tons of times.
But would
you be like, no big deal? Would you go like, oh, God damn it?
I would go, oh, God damn it. But I wouldn't frame it the same way, like it was a life-changing thing. And it's forever changed me.
I shit into a plastic bag once. And then instead of burning the bag, we took the shit out and put it on Bobby Lee's car.
He's so sweet.
Yeah.
He didn't deserve that.
It was the last fight I got into.
You punched him?
Yeah.
Why?
Over a girl. So stupid.
Never fight.
Yeah.
Was she worth it?
No. None of them ever are.
Never.
Any friendships I've lost over women, anything like that, it's never worth it.
No.
It's just to get in the way.
But they're kind of justifiers. Like, they're... You would have probably broken up with that friend anyways, don't you think?
Maybe.
That bitch was just a catalyst to something that was going to happen.
Maybe. A girl's getting in the way. You've seen that preview for that movie, The War at Home, something like that, where it's like two guys, they're fighting over the chick from Walk the Line. They're both like NSA
Oh, I love agents. That movie, the Johnny Cash movie.
Yeah. Who's that chick?
The blonde chick who looks like a gremlin.
Uh-huh. She's like cute, but then you look at her again, you're like, oh, unfortunate face.
I know, I'm not good. Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, I think it's her.
I was going to say John Witherspoon.
Yeah. And it's a guy from Warrior and other guy who's super hot. And they're both like, oh, I dated some really cool girl last week. And, oh, cool. 2 weeks ago, I went out with a girl. And then they found out the same one.
Oh, no.
I'm like, well, let's just be cool about it. Let's just keep dating her and let her decide. And then they get into like an NSA-style fight where they're shooting at each other. And like they would dart gun each other so they fall asleep instead of being able to fuck her. And it got in the way of their friendship. And I'm like, she's just some girl you don't even know yet. You just went out with her once. You sit across the hall from this guy. Just both end it.
Hmm.
Or both, like, let's just both fuck her and who cares?
Yeah, because you guys will be friends forever.
God, feelings get in the way. It's horrible.
Dude, I busted up a male friendship. I had my first boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then we broke up in college and then I hooked up with his best friend.
Why did you do that?
Because I was stupid and like 19.
What was in your head justifying you to do that though?
Just being a dopey.
No, think about it though.
I thought he was hot and I was like, I'll just bang him.
And now at all part of your brain going, but it is so and so's friend.
Of course.
Okay, now how hard do you have to push that part down?
Pretty hard. I mean, yeah, of course, all that comes into play, and that's why you do it once, you make the mistake of it and you realize how hideous that is, and then you never do it again. But I mean, looking back, like, I think part of me wanted to get back at my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, how much was that?
That was 50%.
Like, I'll show him.
I'll show him because I think he hooked up with this other chick. He doesn't admit to it, but
knew.
I found her panties in his fucking bedroom.
There's very few reasons for a girl's panties to be anywhere besides her own bedroom.
Yeah, winner, winner, chicken dinner. That's what I said. And I was like, oh, it's game
on. What did he say? No.
We just had a party. There's so many people. I don't know how those got there.
Clearly lying to you.
Clearly lying.
How do you know they were her panties?
I think he claimed them as hers.
Well, then he was definitely lying to you.
Can I tell you what I did? It was so embarrassing after.
What?
This is so fucking embarrassing. And I was just, I think I saw her at Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me,
shortly afterwards.
I just saw this girl at Trader
Joe's.
Oh, recently?
Joe's. Okay.
I'm telling you, 2 days ago. And I'm like, that's her, man. When I was 19 years old, I'm pretty sure she hooked up with my ex-boyfriend. We were at a party once. And I was all fucking hopped up on vodka gimlets. Mm-hmm. And my friend was like, go fucking beat her ass. Go beat this girl's ass. I'm like, no, I don't want to fight. I've fucking been
such a redneck.
Yeah, goth girls can be aggressive.
Yeah.
But what I did do is I yelled at her and I called her names and stuff. And then when she left.
At Trader Joe's?
No. This is just Trader Joe's. I just saw her. This is back in the day. This is 19 years old. 19 years old Christina sees this girl at a party. Calls her a slut and a whore and this and that, and then she leaves the party, and then out of a second story window I hawk a loogie and I spit on her. Isn't that terrible?
You hit her?
I spit on her. And I, well, I think I did. I mean, I tried to. I was pretty hammered.
Was she standing there?
Yeah, and she knew I did it. Yeah. I tried to spit on this girl. It was so awful.
I'm amazed by that.
I feel really bad. I've never spit on somebody. That's such a vulgar, like...
That's actually if you spit on me, let's say if you're a guy, you spit on me and I punch you in the face, that's not assault on my part. You're the assault. Spitting on somebody is like, you may as well throw a punch because everyone has to punch back.
Yeah.
It's an act of contempt.
Yes, it's biblical. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they did in the Bible.
At the end,
right?
They made that, like, maybe a TV movie, something about when they hijacked that boat and killed a bunch of Jews and stuff or whatever, killed a bunch of people. I forget which boat it was. I think it was Gaddafi did it. He was in charge. But then afterwards, the lady like got to face her, like when they rescued, they liberated it. Yeah. She went up to them and just and spit in her this face. I was like,
ooh,
that's harsh. But how'd you hit her from the second story?
Well, that's the thing is, I'm not sure that I did. Oh. I know that I tried.
But the act was there.
The intent.
Yeah.
The imperative was to hit her. And she knew it. She looked up. She knew I was trying to spit on her and I was yelling at her. It was really aggressive.
And then you do the same thing where some guy would have spit on that guy.
Yeah. I know. They didn't fight, though, because they were goth guys. So they were, like, passive and, you know.
Life is meaningless. Yeah.
Whatever, man.
You ever see the goth people from South Park?
Yeah.
I love those guys.
I love it, too.
I love them so much. I never got into goth. I never was aware of it until college. When I found it, I was like, I'm intrigued by these people.
Yeah. It's all
wearing all white and black.
Oh, it's a tremendous
pale
subculture.
Faces. Maroon lipstick, was that what it was?
Of course. Brick red was my shade of Wet and Wild at the Rite Aid. That's like a dollar lipstick. And then once a year, I'd go to the Halloween store and buy the white makeup because back then they didn't really have white makeup. So once a year, I'd have to go and stock up on worth of goth makeup.
Yeah.
And it's a lifestyle, man. It took so much of my energy and focus because we didn't have like Hot Topic and shit back then.
We just do it for you.
What?
They were like, here's everything you need. It's right here.
Yeah, it wasn't like that. I had to go down to Melrose Avenue to Aardvark's and buy vintage shit, and it smelled terrible, and put fishnet stockings. I cut out the crotch and put it over my head and make sleeves out of like fishnet stockings.
Wow.
And gloves, and it was so elaborate. When I think of all the energy I put into being goth,
wow,
I could have just like played sports,
written a book,
yeah, something. Done anything other than being goth?
How often? Yeah. I want to make this a little bit of an episode. How much do you see therapy? No, it's all right. What I usually do is I usually fishtail off whatever topic I'm supposed to talk about.
Okay.
I feel handcuffed by my format sometimes.
Oh, it has to be a specific.
It's like figure out one thing and then like diverge all you want and then get back to like fleshing out every topic, every question you wanted about. We'll do reality TV another time.
Yeah, that's fine. We can come back to your mom's house. Uh-huh. We're going to have you at your mom's house.
Okay.
And then we won't do reality, but you come to ours.
Okay, yeah.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah, sure. But how often do you go to therapy? Once a week?
Yeah, I love it. I go once a week, and I plan my life around it.
Really?
So it takes...
What day of the week do you go? Monday or Tuesday, right?
I go Tuesday, because I'm usually traveling on Mondays.
Yeah. On Mondays?
Yeah.
Traveling back.
You
do Sundays a lot, okay.
Mm-hmm, from whatever week I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go Tuesday, and it's kind of like my one day off, you know? So I like to block it out, because I'm probably... Sometimes you come out pretty, like, fucked up. So you don't want to be, like, doing a set that night, necessarily.
Oh,
or like having to call people back, you know, and you're dealing with your...
You do it daytime?
Yeah.
And then you just sit here afterwards and just kind of like sit on it?
Well, I drive to the west side for it. Mm-hmm. So like I have that hour kind of there to think about it and then an hour back in my car to like marinate on what I just talked about. And then like Tommy's usually home, so he and I will hang out. It'll be like our day off, so we'll go see a movie. Mm-hmm. There he is calling right now. Or just have like a mommy day, like mommy out together. You know?
Why do you say mommy?
That's our stupid thing.
What is that from?
We started calling each other mommy like in 2008.
You both call each other mommy?
Yeah, we were like, we lived
like the Mexican way?
Yeah, that's how it started, is that we were living in downtown in the ghetto.
Yeah. You guys used to live there.
It was terrible.
And Tom was always like, you should come by sometime. I'm like, yeah, what is this? Oh, no.
It's the worst.
No, I'll never go there.
It was the worst place on earth. It was near MacArthur Park, where they filmed Training Day and like all these terrible gang movies. And so we were living in the ghetto and we were around a lot of Salvadorian gangbangers and shit, and it just
some of the worst gangbangers of Salvador.
The worst, 18th Street, and anyway, yeah, it started as like a joke, like, "Hey, mommy, 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 mommy," and I remember being like, "Wouldn't that be the grossest thing ever if we called each other mommy?" And then he just started doing it, and it's all our friends. We all call each other mommy. And we have a podcast called Your Mom's House, and our fans are little mommies. And
I like Your Mom's. I just thought it was like off that saying of like
your mom.
Yeah, how's it your mom's house? You know.
Well, we call each other mommy for real.
Oh wow!
Like in private.
Oh, you guys are weird. So wait, so you sit there, you don't lie back, but you talk about your problems.
I can lie down. I like to lay down sometimes on her couch. Yeah, she'll let me.
Okay, and then you talk about your problems, and now she does she go? Here's how I see it. There's a few different types of therapy. One, they're just an ear, and that's all they are. They don't do anything.
Ugh.
And then they just write down, okay, whatever. And I'm mostly like, let's talk about your father today, and then just stop and listen. Two, they'll say, let's just say something like, well, you know, John really loves me, but, you know, he hits me sometimes, but he can't help it. And then they'll be like, okay, now, in other relationships you've seen, do they hit each other in the good relationships you've seen? And they'll be like, no. I was like, well, then what does that tell you? But they won't fill in the blanks for you. They make it do it yourself. Right. Just ask leading questions.
Right.
Like, do you see a lot of people that love each other that hit each other?
Right. And that's the kind of therapist I have.
Okay. And there's a third that just says, no, no, here's what you're doing wrong. You're thinking this way that he's hitting you. You need to think this way. And they just tell you.
Oh, I don't think that's very helpful for people.
Okay. So you have the one where you just sort of walk through the, like, well, you just told me this.
Yes. Well, because a lot of my problem is I was invalidated a lot, like, because my mom was crazy.
Yeah. What do you mean crazy? What would she do?
She's a borderline, and she's also
borderline schizophrenic?
Yes, she is now, yeah. And so, borderline personality disorder, and then it kind of evolved into paranoid schizophrenia. Oh my gosh, do you hear that?
Yeah.
It's a motorcycle. It means that their personalities, I guess, split. So, like, 1 minute they're okay, they love you, and then the next minute they hate you.
I thought it's bipolar.
Bipolar can be mood swings back and forth, or it's similar. It's a kissing cousin of bipolar.
Okay.
Definitely. But their moods are erratic and unpredictable.
That's what borderline is.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know, like, what's coming next.
Suddenly they'll be like, oh, everything's great. We just went to the movies. It was great. And then you're just lying down there like, get the fuck off your feet off the couch. What the fuck? I clean. You're like, I have my socks on. What?
Right. And you don't know what you did, and you can't. So you're always trying to predict what's going to happen next. And so you try to adjust your mood to placate the parent so that you're hoping that, like, oh, maybe if I do this, like, you kind of have to manipulate
them.
Like,
I
want to
try to fix things. So how do I fix things? But then you can't, because they're not even like, they don't go by a standard set of rules.
So you always have to adjust your behavior to adapt to the parent that's unpredictable. So, like, that was a lot of what I.
Okay.
So
you had to deal with that as you're forming yourself. As you're forming who you are, who Christina is, you're forming these things based on, like, ideas that aren't necessary for life.
Right. So then you kind of, in my process, like, I just kind of have to unlearn all that stuff, you know. I feel weird even talking about it. Maybe I shouldn't talk about this stuff.
Why?
I don't know. It's so personal.
Nothing legal.
What?
There's nothing legal about it.
No, I know. It just feels weird. Because you don't know who's going to hear this, you know.
Oh. Yeah, but it's like, it doesn't matter. Here's what I found. Like, none of that stuff matters. You didn't do it. She didn't do it.
Yeah.
So it's just like, here's what happened. You can shy away and be embarrassed by things all you want, but then it's like, it doesn't matter. Once you accept, like, I didn't do it. Like, you didn't do it.
Yeah, but I know. That's
and,
the
and your
part
mom didn't do it either. Your mom did it to you.
Yeah.
But not because of something she did.
You know?
It just happened to her.
Yeah.
So then it's like, then it's not embarrassing because you didn't choose to, like, I'm going to choose to fuck my girlfriend's friend. That's something I did. I should be embarrassed by that action.
Right.
These aren't actions, really, you guys
went
into willingly.
I know. It just feels weird because I don't really talk about it, you know. But anyway, I mean, I will in the hope that, like, well,
I used to be embarrassed by the cutting and stuff.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, but it's like, whatever. I was feeling really bad. This is what happened. Who cares? Judge me if you want.
I do hope, like, I don't know. I do. The only reason I do talk about it, though, is I do think if someone grew up the same way, then they don't feel ashamed about it. And they go, like, oh, it wasn't my fault either.
There might be someone like that listening who's 15 who's like, oh, I was really close to my mom.
Well, good.
Yeah.
And I hope.
then you should go to therapy because it really fucking helps. Like, I think it really helps.
So then what do you do? You tell something. Give me an example or a type of thing you would say.
Okay, so I'll be like, dude, I'm having problems with my my friend.
Like this friend, Margaret, and I are fighting. Oh, it seems like we're fighting over where we go to eat. We just fight a lot.
Yeah, or like she makes me feel weird about this and that and the other thing, and or she doesn't answer my texts, and it's just pissing me off. And then, well, what about that bothers you? And
that's
then
what I'll say. Let's get to it. Like, it's not just that, but like specifically what?
Yeah, well, what bothers you? And then you talk about what bothers you, and then it's like, well, what does that remind you of, or what does that make you think of?
Have you ever been in these other situations where something similar has bothered you?
Yeah.
And how have you handled that well and badly?
Yes.
And so now how can you apply that to this situation?
More or less, yeah. Just getting to the root cause of it. Yeah, I mean,
or like, why do you think it bothers you? Because it reminds you of your mom, not
oh, and a lot of my issues are rooted in mommy, yeah. Like,
really?
Like, a lot of girls have daddy issues. I'm actually pretty cool with my dad. All my issues are, like, mommy-related because she was crazy. So, it's a different, and it's so weird because, like, there's a reason I do stand-up, and, like, it's all roads lead to mom for me. But why, like, I identify with dudes more, because, like, I never identified with my own
mom. You're kind of a tomboy.
Mom. Yeah. Like, I like male thinking more.
Mm-hmm.
I feel safer in male thinking because it feels more consistent to me.
Mm-hmm.
It feels more, like, even keel to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of fear women a little bit, the emotional stuff.
Okay. Hold on. I just had a thought.
Okay.
I have okay, and I'll fight it, and I'll apologize for it as much as I want, but I have a problem with female comedy.
Okay.
Overall. Not like everyone is terrible.
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah. But I'm aware enough that there's a thing out there, and I don't want to be associated with the guys who are just like, fuck chicks.
Well, what is it that bothers you?
I think it's just not geared towards my aesthetic.
Right.
But I was, here's, and I can see a differentiation between the two, male comedy and female comedy.
Absolutely.
There's plenty of male comics that I don't like. There's plenty of female comics I do like. But overall, I just see, I don't know if it's like in their environment, they grew up where women don't have to be funny to get attention or what it is, or if it's just their brains are shaped differently to where like women are more nurturing, men are less nurturing. So women are less funny, men are more, it's like men are stronger physically. Our muscles are stronger overall, not completely. So why can't our brains be shaped slightly different too? But I think it's that, what you just said of like, you don't associate with women, or what did you just say?
I don't associate like the way with men the think? Female way of thinking.
Yeah, that's it. So it's like the female way of thinking breeds female comedy.
Right.
And the women I like on stage do male comedy.
Yeah.
You, I like Eliza. There's a few people I like that I'm like, this isn't what I see as female comedy. And there's black comics too. Ian Edwards does not do black comedy.
Right.
But he's a black comic.
Well, can I tell you, I think you're actually right.
Okay.
And this is a conversation I have with Tommy behind closed doors a lot.
Okay.
And it is because I think the reason is that women are socialized differently than men are. Okay. Women are socialized and valued for their looks. So number one is to be attractive.
Yeah.
To be sexually viable.
Yeah.
To be pleasing to men, to always accommodate men. Now, what about that is funny?
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
So in order to be a good female comedian, you have to transcend those social norms. You have to break the taboos. So you can't be accommodating on stage. You can't
be
worried.
That's why I usually see the people who usually kill the one genre, angry fat black chick.
Best.
Yeah.
Love them because they...
Lonnie Love, Monique, Faye Vidal. It's a genre, and it's like they're non-sexualized. No one looks at them as I'm going to try to fuck that.
They're subverting because they're subverting what it is to be feminine, and that's funny.
Yeah.
Now, living up to the norm of what's feminine isn't funny. What's so funny about a hot chick? Like, if you go up there and then you go, I'm going to be hot. I don't want everyone to fuck me. Well, there's nothing funny about
that.
These
generals, they're not doing that 100% of the time, but it comes from that place.
Correct, yeah. And that's not ever going to... I don't know. There's very few women that can pull off. Natasha Leggero pulls off being attractive and ladylike because she's doing a parody.
She's got a character.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a parody of what it is to be a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And an obnoxious lady.
Silverman does it a little bit.
Right. But she doesn't use her...
She uses her looks to get, I guess, people's eyes on her, but she's not like... She uses it to be cutesy.
Out there. Yeah.
She can be like, I'll make a dark joke, but it's okay because I'm an unassuming figure.
Wait, and that is the... And that's a
Which
secret
weapon.
Which is
fine, I play off your looks.
But that's a secret weapon of female comedians because nobody gives you credibility. So you can say, I can say crazy shit up there. And people are like, oh, she's not serious. She's a blonde girl, which is fantastic.
Yeah. There is a thing of like, fuck, what was I just going to say? Damn it. I lost it.
Mm.
Oh, I know. Dykes used to have a joke about it, but I think it comes from a place of like, this place, I picture a party when you're 17. Just where everybody is in the college, the high school, I mean, 15, 16, 17. And for someone like me, let's say not a super ugly, just an average looking, but not attractive guy, for us to get attention, we have to do something, be interesting. We're not the captain of the football team. We're not the super attractive guy. So no one's paying us attention of the opposite sex. So to get attention, I developed a humor.
Right.
In order for people to look at me and pay
me
the attention
that I need. And girls to like you.
Yeah, and girls to like me, or just like things like that. Not everyone does that, but that's one defense mechanism in order to get that attention that you desire.
Of course.
Women, if you're a 5, you can get attention from men just by sitting there.
Yeah, it's not hard for us to get laid.
Or above.
Yeah.
So then it's like you just don't have to develop that thing.
I will agree with you.
Uh-huh.
I think that a lot of women are intellectually lazy.
Yeah.
We'll fucking say that. Because, again, society doesn't privilege you. Admire you for being smart.
It doesn't. So then you don't develop it.
So who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I'll just read Cosmopolitan magazine.
And definitely, it's like, yeah, that's unfair. I wouldn't want to be born because I wouldn't be expected to move higher. But the result is you haven't developed it, whatever the reason.
You're a fucking bore.
Yeah.
No, I know.
If you're born like a rich kid, you're probably not going to be good at self-defense or street smarts.
Right.
Whatever the reason, but that's the result.
But I know if I can speak for myself, the reason that I wanted a personality.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think very highly of myself, I guess. Mm-hmm. I didn't buy into.
That helps too. Low negative self-esteem.
Absolutely.
But I got to push harder because I'm gross. No one will like me.
That and like, I was never, also because my parents were immigrant and Eastern European, there's a harshness to that where there's no princess culture. There's no idea that, oh, sweetie, you're so perfect. You shouldn't have to work.
Right.
Or one day, you know, we're going to take care of you. A man's going to take care of you. That was just never in our way of being. I was never treated like a girl. Like I wanted a bike, like a bicycle. I remember like with a pink one with a banana seat and the streamers. And I was like, daddy, I want a bicycle. And my parents were divorced. So I was with my dad. I lived with him for a lot. And he got me like a black BMX dirt bike.
Yeah.
And his reason was, well, this is a much better bike. That fucking girl bike sucks.
It does. It features.
And he's right. And I rode the shit out of that fucking black BMX.
Yeah.
And it was a far superior bike. And I thank him for that because he didn't turn me into just a dopey girl that like just
like,
because.
Play with this doll. After a while, if you like, no, I don't want to play with a doll. Just play with a doll.
Yeah.
After a while, like, all right, I'll play with a doll.
Yeah.
After a while, you must just get into it.
But I never had, you know, I never had a Barbie until I was 13. A neighbor gave one to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? And I shaved a mohawk into her hair. And I didn't even like, I couldn't understand. I thought it was so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's because. And look at the television. I mean, look at the fucking Kardashians. Why is anybody paying attention to these dumb cunts?
Yeah.
Because they're attractive and everybody wants to fuck them, but they're not saying anything for women. They're not doing anything.
I remember Jen Kirkman once. She was big into like, it's hard for women.
Yeah.
She's really big into that.
Yeah.
She would always write on a special thing and start how it's like wrong and she and women in general being treated wrong.
Yeah.
In the comedy scene. But she, one time she pointed out a case of how, I don't know if she'll stand by this or not, but this is what she pointed out, a case of how it's harder for female comics. She said she got put on Premium Blend, which was before Live at Gotham. Now they have nothing. I guess Gabriel's show is the closest to that, like a short set on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
5-minute set, 4 to 6 minutes.
Yeah.
She got put on there. And because she was a cute female comic, she got put on too early.
Right.
They took her too early. And she didn't do well because she wasn't ready for it. She said it took her a few years. Because people saw that set and were like, oh, that wasn't very good. It took a few years to overcome that, that perception of her, that she wasn't good or ready. Because she goes, but this is just because they put me on too early and it was like I wasn't ready for it. And then they judged me as a female comic. And I was looking at that, reading that as it was, say, about the same amount of time I started in, like 7 or 8 years in, saying, I have been showcasing for Comedy Central for 8 years and I have not gotten on television. And you're saying it's harder for female comics because you got put on TV too early?
Yeah.
I wanted to fucking smack her.
Well, I'll
like, tell you. What the fuck are you talking about?
I agree.
Take her side if you want to. I want to hear. I don't know.
No, no, no. Here's the thing is that I think I think you're assuming that if you are an attractive woman, it's easier for you. Maybe that was Jen Kirkman's experience.
Yeah.
The complete opposite for me. I feel like I had to work. I've never been on Comedy Central doing stand-up. Yeah, I never got Premium Blend. I never got Gotham. Yeah. I never got Montreal. I never got any of the things that I saw, like the other cute girl. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I got Chelsea Lately, but that was after like a long time of trying to get on that show. And I think it actually can work against you because the assumption is that you're not funny because you're attractive. People don't know that I grew up with a mentally ill mom. And like, you know. Yeah,
I think that's an assumption like, oh, she must not be funny. But we need to save 3 spots for chicks. We got 10 spots. We got to save 3 for chicks. And it's like, oh, she's cute. Like somehow in your back of your brain, you're like, oh, she'd be nice to have around. Just take her.
Yeah, and that is unfortunate when that does happen. But don't understand that
everyone I know who got represented, boys and girls, when we were just starting, the early ones were the attractive people.
Yeah, but then where are they now? Where are the ones that got picked up super early? Like, are a lot of them still?
Yeah. One of them is the writer and creator of Whitney.
That's an exception.
Natasha would get picked up early. It was like all these people get picked up early.
Yeah, but Natasha's been doing stand-up for a very long time too.
But I remember when they were get represented, that time when you just needed an agent or a manager,
I know.
It was impossible to find one.
It didn't happen to me until a few months ago, Ari. So, I think, you know, it doesn't always have to be that way.
No, it doesn't always. It's a generalization. It's not like 100% of the time this is how it works.
But it bums me out to see really attractive, shitty, unfunny girls on TV, too. Like, it breaks my heart when
that's
I see
a spot
it.
That another person, another girl even could have used.
Or not only that, like, the thing is that women are judged so fucking hard. So now that dumb bitch is on TV and everyone's going to see it and go, not that she's not funny, but that women aren't funny.
Yeah.
And now when I go fucking do some town, the assumption is I'm not funny until I get up there and I duke it out with them for the first 10 minutes. And then they go,
okay. She's normal. She's like a regular person.
I have to fight against the bias because some dumb bitch got a spot and it
You've seen this, though. You've seen studies of like how people like attractive people around them.
Yes.
At parties, even job interviews, what they did at 2020 interview or 60 Minutes. People with less credentials on their resumes.
Yes.
But are better looking will get the job over better credentials and worse looking.
Yeah.
So people that see people at comedy parties around, you'd like having the attention of you, Natasha, Jen Kirkman, Sarah Silverman. You'd rather be talking to them than Lonnie Love or Monique.
No, I don't. Yeah, but can I tell you something?
Naturally, people want attractive people around them. It's just a nicer feel.
I don't know. I've been to those parties.
Overall. And then people that are at those parties, like Allison Cohn, who's picking the fucking Premium Blend for years.
Yeah.
Is like, well, who do I like? Who do I like? Who's around me?
Oh, that's, yeah. That's
and it's like, ugh. Yeah. You're ruining stand-up.
Well, that's the end. You're talking about industry.
Yeah. And then the Comedy Central will look to one or two people. Like, you pick 90% of the people who are going to be on TV.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That person or that two people, like, well, I like attractive people. I want to be around fun people. Who are the most popular people? The attractive ones.
Yeah.
And I want to be popular, so I'll pick them so that I can be popular. And then it becomes people on TV and you at home saying, like, seeing some hot girl on television. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Now everyone's going to think girls are terrible comics.
Oh, I agree. I know. It's all fucked
up, guys,
Ari.
Too. There's tons of people. I used to get so upset when I would count the people who would get bookings ahead of me, like Premium Blend, Live at Gotham, Late Friday, who are out of stand-up.
Of course.
And I was like, what? I'm better than them now.
But don't you think that there is something to be said for, like, funny is the great leveler? Like, if you... Funny,
sort of great, but not in terms of bookings.
But it transcends like,
a lot. On a stage at the store at night, any random night.
It translates to bookings. Absolutely.
It helps.
It's being funny... Absolutely.
But here's what I think. I think people think it's just when your plane touches down on time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're in New York at 7:52. We expect to be here at 7:50. It's about right. No one goes crazy because it's expected that you get there safely and on time.
Right.
That's the expectations. So the expectation is obviously you're going to be funny. So like, what are you doing even better than that? And then it's like, no, they're fine for 5 minutes. Everybody's fine for 5 minutes.
Oh, but 45 minutes is a different.
Yeah, but nobody's. Those Premium Blend things, they were never about 45 minutes.
Oh, that's all garbage. Yeah.
Yeah, like who leaves with a better time after a comedy show?
Well, we all know that comedy is changing. I mean, gone are the days, if you do look at the Roseanne days, I mean, she was a fat,
yeah,
unfuckable, wonderfully funny.
She was
love
doing something
her.
That no one was doing, talking about being a housewife.
Yeah.
Like, was something that wasn't a thing that people were talking about.
But even our stars, our comedy stars, were different. Sam Kinison was a big, fat, unfuckable.
God, he was great.
Yeah, he was great. And Bill Hicks and Marty Feldman. Remember that guy with the wonky eye? I mean, I grew up watching him in movies.
Feldman eyes.
Yeah. I mean, Gene Wilder, like, I don't think any of these people would have careers.
Well, guys would never. That's why I think girls would be upset too. Like, guys don't have to be pretty. They can get in.
Oh, that kills me. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you're probably expected, like, throw yourself up a little. You're going to get in here. Look pretty.
It always does. I know. I resent it when, like, my husband can go to an audition and he just
roll out of bed and go.
Yeah.
And you can't.
And I have to, like, oh, I have to put paint on my face like a clown.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fucking clown.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Do you realize we put paint on our face? Like,
yeah, wow.
It's so fucking stupid.
You're like that assistant from the Drew Carey show.
Yeah, Mimi, right?
Just who had clown makeup on, pretty much.
Just to be accepted in society, it's very bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I am a feminist. I'm very fucking
high, uncomfortable
open.
Shoes.
Oh, I don't do it.
Aren't good for, like, running away from rapists.
I won't do it, yeah. Fuck that, man. I don't wear uncomfortable panties. I don't wear fucking high-heeled shoes.
Skirts in general, you gotta cross your legs. You gotta move everything down and then very closely. You can't just like go like that.
It is so constraining. And the older I get, the less I give a shit.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm also because I'm married. I'm attracted.
Also, you get older, you're like, oh, none of that matters.
Not really, because it all fades anyways.
Yeah,
who gives a shit?
Julia Lillis was asking me once, and she looks better than ever now.
She's so skinny. She looks great.
Yeah, but she was always one of those that was like. She was like, cute. But that's as best as she's getting. She wasn't selling like a gorgeous person. She wasn't selling that.
No.
She was just like fine, but she was trying to do her comedy. And so we were talking about The Wall.
Pink Floyd?
No.
Oh.
The wall that everyone hits at some point.
Oh. I was like, the Berlin Wall?
No, think
the
lower.
The wall between Mexico and the...
When you're hot, when you see someone like Sharon Stone now, you're like, no! What happened? Who did that to that?
Yeah.
She's hit the wall.
Mickey Rourke?
Mickey Rourke has kind of hit the wall too, yeah.
Kind of. I'd say a lot.
It's like, ugh, you're fat and gross and old.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And she was like, am I going to hit the wall? And I was like, no, Julia, because you don't put your self-worth on what you look like.
Yeah.
You put almost none of that on there. So you develop a sense of humor or intelligence.
Yes.
And you will continue to have that when you turn 40 and gross.
Is that the cutoff, you think?
It's around there. It's a lot. It's 40 gets you. 40 gets you a lot.
You know what, though? I
used to have somebody who said, never Rogan, care. He would say, like, in a billion years of human development, the wall is undefeated.
Yeah.
It gets everybody.
Of course. But so what? Like,
no, so what? But if all your basis of self-worth is based on,
yeah,
I look pretty, well, you're not going to be someday.
Oh, I've seen
you're
it.
You're going to be Betty White someday.
Mm-hmm.
She can't sell, like, you want to fuck me, don't you? Because no one does. But when you're 25, you can sell that.
But, okay, and I'll shit on female comics even more in this podcast and bring up the fact that there is this weird thing that happens when they get older that they want to become fuckable. Like, yeah. Kathy Griffin is, like, the bikini stuff. And then even Phyllis Diller posed for Playboy. The pictures were never published, but she was in her 40s. Yeah. I know. And like, they all go through this weird... Even Janine Garofalo lost a bunch of weight, turned blonde. Like, they want to become fuckable later. Yeah. And it's like, no, that's not the deal. Like, you either get to be funny or fuckable, but not both. And don't... Or at least don't try to sell both. You know what I mean? Like, it...
You know who's fuckable now?
Huh?
You know who's fuckable now?
Who?
It wasn't when she was, like, little? Like, just starting?
Little.
Whatever. Like, for, like, beginning? Margaret Cho.
Gorgeous.
Looks hotter than ever.
Yeah, she's great.
Her legs are all tatted up and fucking god damn it.
You like that tattoo stuff?
Yeah, it does something to me.
Yeah, it's bad girl.
It won't enter my ratings of, like, 1 to 10.
Yeah.
But it'll be like, that's a super hot 6.
Yeah.
If it's somebody who's like gross and like got some sweet tattoos.
Yeah.
Or a super hot 10, but like the tattoos do something for me separately.
But Margaret's done that thing where she's intersexual.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was talking about having three ways and stuff on someone else's podcast. I was listening to her.
Yeah.
Like, she's really into, like,
I
sexual.
I
kind of want
to fuck her.
You could probably try. She's around.
She is around. I like her. She's nice, too.
Yeah, I mean, I've never met her, but
She's super cool.
She looks, I mean, she seems cool, down to earth.
Oh, wait, what were we talking about, though? Sorry.
Fucking who even knows? Tattoos?
No, before that, of girls who have become sexual. Here's Rita Rudner's problem. People like that.
Yeah.
You play this ingenue for a while, like, I'm just a dumb little girl.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You're 50.
Yeah.
You can't be a dumb little girl. So get a new act.
Yeah.
Well, get a new way of delivering your material.
But don't you think that that's the
it's funny at 26. Yeah. Oh, this dumb girl. I get it. You're playing stupid.
But that's the sticky part of developing a character is that you got to age.
Yeah.
Like Larry the Cable Guy, he's got to wear that sleeveless shirt every time he's on Leno. He's got to wear that dumb.
Did you see Geraldo's roast of him?
No.
They did a roast of Larry the Cable Guy. Oh, yeah. Geraldo went too early. They didn't know how much he'd prepare.
Oh, he's the best.
I heard he got sick or something. What happened to him?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he died.
I really loved Greg Giraldo.
I didn't know him well enough.
No, not as a person. I'm
I know,
just
his
saying
stuff. I didn't know his stuff.
I just love him. I think he's phenomenal. Was phenomenal.
But I discovered him later. Big J turned me on to him, and he's like, look at this. If you ever, it came on. I was in the green room in Brea this weekend. It was on. The Rose of Larry the Cable Guy. They put him on way too early in the show.
Yeah.
And he just got honest.
Yeah.
He was like, it's disgusting what you're doing to America. It's the first time. I don't know. Has any roast ever been done for a fake character?
Yeah.
This isn't
I remember
you,
that.
Man.
Yeah, I remember
it's
that.
It's not you.
Yeah.
We're just roasting a thing that you invented. And he's like laughing. And then, but it's like, he goes on. It's like, I mean, no, in all seriousness, you're super successful. And it bothers the fuck out of me. And it was like, oh, I love that honest shit.
Yeah, me too.
But that guy, he'll always be like the redneck. He has to play that, Dan Whitney. He'll always have to play that. But at least he can be an old redneck. Dice has like moved up for this like young, like tough guy who's got so much like self-worth to like sort of an older like mafioso.
Well, and I also think that Dice really locked into a zeitgeist of that backlash to feminism. Like he was in that perfect window of like when people were over listening to women be like, wee, wee, wee. And he hooked into something so great.
Rosie Dooley said it to Mitzi once, the owner of the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Because she would come in all the time. And I think he was driving
her
home.
I never seen her. I mean,
she doesn't come around anymore. It's kind of sad. But it was like something like, do you think there'll be ever be another Dice? And he's like, no. And she's like, why? He's like, because there's no new words. He was the first one that went and said, I'll just use all of them. I'll just say cunt and and fuck and all these things. And I'll just use them so like much that it's like, he was the first one to say, fuck it. I'll just go for it.
Yeah.
There's nothing new. What new words? Your kids, nothing to explore. Yeah. Just be this complete shock comic.
Now, I remember that wasn't his downfall that he apologized for something that he had said on SNL. Like he did a skit or
hey, people apologize.
He was going to be on SNL and then all the women were
said,
angry.
No way. Yeah.
And then if I think he backed down or he apologized or something. And something in his apologizing is what was the downfall of his popularity. Is his fans were like, why are you
don't
apologizing?
Like Rush Limbaugh right now.
Is they he apologizing?
Like, he apologized. Well, he the day later, after he said, like, that girl's a slut who wants health insurance to cover birth control.
Oh, geez.
And she's like, not saying for me at all. He goes, you're a slut. If you're a slut like this and we're supposed to pay for you to have sex, at least make a video so we can get something out of it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So the next day, after the big backlash and all the Republicans even were like, we don't, maybe you shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
But he goes, no, they're just overreacting. I'm not going to apologize. Then the advertisers started pulling away.
Mm.
So then he was like, okay, I shouldn't have said those things. And people were like, fuck you. Because the advertisers left?
Mm-hmm.
That's how shallow you are?
Of course.
I think even his fans are like, dude, not do it after day one. Don't do it after day four.
Yeah.
After you say, I stand by it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disingenuous. It reads false.
Sarah Silverman apologized for that chink thing.
Oh, I remember that,
I was
yeah.
so disappointed in her.
Yeah.
I was like, this is clearly you're bowing down to the pressure because what you said was not racist. You're making a joke about racism.
Right. I remember that.
This is not race. You should stand by and say, you guys are misinterpreting this. And I refuse to sacrifice my art and to mortgage what I believe in because you're overreacting.
I know. I say that too. I think that.
But who knows what would happen.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I get one bad tweet, and I'm like, oh my God.
What if your manager's telling, if your manager's telling you, like, dude, yeah, obviously you're not wrong. But here's the deal. You can ruin your career over it.
Right.
Say sorry to people you'll never talk to ever again.
Right.
Maybe it's like, all right, I'll just say I'm sorry.
You don't know. You don't know
no,
once
don't
you're
know.
There. It's like, even at the level of measly, tiny little tiny piece of fame that you and I have at this point in our careers. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when something bad happens and you're like, oh my God, this is calamitous. Like I said, or you get an email from somebody and you're like, oh my God, I'm a fucking racist. I'm the worst person ever. Like, it affects me all. Yeah.
I feel bad if I genuinely, not if I see someone's like getting upset because I can, but if I genuinely hurt someone's feelings.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, I did not intend that at all. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, maybe I should have worded it differently where it didn't. Let's say I'll still intend what I intended, but like, or I was making an overboard joke. So I'm trying not to use the word retard anymore.
I know.
Because like, if you have a retarded son, like, I'm making you feel bad, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to make fun of dumb people. So I got to get a better word.
I know. But then again, like, you can't make concessions for everybody in the audience because someone's going to have something.
No.
Well, but what about every, first of all,
if I use the word cunt and females get mad, I'm like, this isn't about you.
Right.
You shouldn't be. But if everyone's laughing at retard, and someone's
it's
like,
funny.
It is funny, but it's,
it's still funny.
I just feel like it's being taken on the in the wrong way. I don't know.
Retard is going the same way that fag is.
Yeah. And people are like, whatever, I still say it. Like, dude, you're past it. You better hurry up and catch up to society. I see Martin Lawrence doing comedy now, and it's like, you know how to write a joke, but you're doing 90s comedy.
Is that what it is? If you use those words, you're still in the 90s?
It's like, people are like, it was good enough for my people. It's like, you know what? People have been saying that for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
It was good enough. You better hurry up and catch up. And we left in the dust.
It does
older, relevant people.
But it still bothers me that people like get offended at words. Like, listen, as a woman, you know how many fucking times I have grown up hearing, oh, you're a pussy. You're a pussy. Well, guess what? I have a vagina, and that's pejorative.
And that's where it comes from.
To hear cunt.
When you say gay, it's like,
okay. Yeah, or whatever. Like, I hear all this stuff. I hear, you know how many fucking male comedians I've heard bash women nightly? Am I going to go up to them and go, you know, you really shouldn't say that because I'm offended by your
here's,
idea.
Yeah, but here's a little different. It's like, they don't mean you. They mean these other women. But they are talking about women.
Right.
When you use the word retard, you're not even referring to retards in any way. So you're offending them in a way they shouldn't even be associated with it. It's like saying this. It's like if someone was lame and instead of using the gay, use the word nigger. And then all these people are like, ugh. Like, they're going to be shocked by, black people are going to be like, they're going to feel weird hearing that word out. And you're like, oh, I didn't mean to make you feel weird racially.
Right.
But that's what you're doing, though.
I wish you would use that word instead.
Oh, this party's all niggered. Let's get out of here.
You should start that trend. Your career would take off so much. Don't you feel like if you became hourly so racist like that,
it would take
off. America would embrace you.
Yeah. If I lose any irony behind any of it, just go for it.
I often think that. Like, I remember when the Kramer meltdown happened
in
the Laugh Factory. Like, I had people around me that were like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
I'll tell you this. The Kramer thing happened, because every comic was talking about it when it happened. And we sort of knew what he was going for. He was trying to be shocking or do something that would get a response. He just didn't choose right. Didn't know there was a camera there.
Sure.
Most importantly. Brennan said he talked to him either that night or the next day. He was like, you're right? And he goes, nah, some shit went down in the Laugh Factory. It's no big deal. But it's just, it wasn't a good set or something like that.
Right.
You have no idea what's waiting for you in the next 3 weeks to 7 years. But there was a time I realized, like, not that, like, 3 or 4 months before, where I did almost the exact same thing to some Arab hecklers.
Right.
Super racist against Arabs. Just, I wanted to hurt them.
Yeah.
And I was like, how can I do it? And then after it went off and the crowd was into it, because it was Arab and wasn't black, so it's not as diversive.
Yeah.
Diversive? That's not the right word. Divisive,
yeah.
And everyone was laughing. And I pointed to some black people. I'm like, look how you guys are laughing now when it's not pointed to you. You guys are having a great old time about it, aren't you? And we all had fun. Yeah. Those people are assholes. But I'm like,
that's, you know, but nobody likes the Arabs.
No one likes the Arabs.
It's fine.
I almost got into a fight with, what's his name? Amir?
Which one? Amir?
Amir at the Comedy Store.
I'm not sure I know this person.
He made some call and pick up basketball yesterday on Saturday.
Hmm.
It was a jump ball, but he pretended it was a foul. And I was like, wait, is it a jump or a foul? You called first. That means it means whoever's ball it is gets the ball. Whoever, like, switch off possessions. And he's like, whatever. I'm like, no, you said first. That means we all stopped. Now you're pretending it's a foul. He goes, well, it's our possession. I'm like, but you weren't thinking it was your possession when you said that. You just changed. And he was like, whatever, man. Don't worry about it. I'm like, you're such a fucking Arab. Why are you always trying to? And he's like, what? I'm like, you know what? And it was like, God, I'm racist. It's deep in there with Arabs. But that's what they do. They fucking change things. They're always trying to win stuff over on you. It's not just Arabs. It's Jews, too. Anyone Semitic. That's how they are. They're trying to get over on you. It's the worst part of Jews. God, I hate it. Fuck. Edit this part out, too. 211. No, I'm not going to edit this part out. That's how I feel. They're always trying to bargain over nothing.
I love how fired up you get.
I hate it so much. I hate that part of him. He's always arguing calls. It's like, I wasn't out. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, we could all see your leg. It was out. Anyway.
That's why I don't play sports.
That's
why. I don't care. Yeah, I'm lazy.
All right, let's finish off this depression
tired
thing.
Now.
I know, I'm
jeez.
Sorry. We went for so long.
How long have we been doing this?
2 hours. It's such a long one.
Jesus Christ.
We didn't do anything. It's all right. It was wine was the problem. That's what,
is that why?
That was our downfall.
Sorry. I drink too much.
I guess get help if you're depressed.
Oh, is that the point? Yeah. I mean, no, really do, though. I can't recommend therapy enough.
What kind of therapist was that called?
Psychotherapist.
That means they can just prescribe drugs?
I don't know.
You've never been on any drugs?
For me, no. I just drink wine and smoke pot every now and then, and I feel like that sets me straight. Like, honestly, I'm probably one of the few comedians who overall, like, day to day, I'm pretty happy. Like, I really enjoy my life. I love my husband. I like my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been depressed in the past, believe me, and I think that's why now as an adult, I'm like, I'm over it. Like, dude, I suffered for so many years that now I'm like, I don't have nothing to be sad about. Like, I'm not living in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I'm in America. This is the best. I'm in California. I'm in Los Angeles.
And yeah, like, things are pretty great.
Yeah, I have a good
career.
This
is winter today, by the way, and it was 76 in West Hollywood.
I got a TV I'm going to watch Mob Wives on once you leave here, and like,
that Mob Wives always so dumb. I'll talk about that next time.
So stupid. Going to eat cheese, have some Skittles.
Yeah, that's pretty nice, right?
Yeah. I mean, what the fuck do I have to be upset about anymore?
It's a nice view, too, from here.
Yeah.
At night, it's kind of nice. They got the hills.
Well, are you still depressed?
No, the pills completely cleaned it up.
They take it away.
Once I got on the right pills, I was like, for a little while, I was like upset because I had so grown accustomed to having that feeling all the time that I missed it. And then for a little while after that, I was sure it would be coming back any moment. And then, no, but I only missed it because it was so lecherous. It grabbed me, but like, no, I don't miss it at all. I'm completely fine. I'm happy. I get in a bad mood once in a while, but I'm like, eh, whatever. Things are great.
Well, yeah, I think that's normal too, to get into a bad mood. Yeah. I mean, I have bad days where I'll wake up and be like, oh, motherfuck, I can't even talk.
Those days get mixed in with people's idea of what depression is. They're like, it's similar to that. But it's something
time.
That won't go away ever.
Yeah,
and it's not
yeah.
based in anything specific.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I missed this show. I didn't record it. Fuck. It's like, yeah, you should be upset about that. But don't worry. You'll get it.
Yeah. I mean, depression is like the constant.
You can only focus on the bad.
Oh, I remember like, have you ever been so depressed you can't sleep?
Yeah.
That's,
can't sleep. And then when you finally do, you can't get up and get out of bed.
I hated that.
Someone told this to a friend of mine. They were like, why didn't you just fucking exercise?
Oh.
She was like, he can't even go to the fridge to get something to eat.
Oh, I was so much skinnier.
Exercise?
That's the good part about depression.
Skinny, yeah, I can't eat. Yeah.
I don't eat.
Some people bury themselves in ice cream.
I do that now in my 30s. Like if I'm on, I do that.
You're depressed?
Loneliness? I eat out of loneliness. When I'm on the road, I'll just order like room service.
You're bored though, right?
Yeah, I eat out of boredom and loneliness.
It's because you're lonely you eat?
Yeah.
Like if you were just eating, you would eat again?
I'd plan my next meal. Yeah, I'd find a dessert item.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm an eater. I'm an alone eater.
I eat alone a lot, too. I binge on candy late at night.
Really?
Like, all the time. I go crazy.
What's your favorite?
I like gummy-based foods. I like the gummy of the five food groups. Gummy is one of my big ones.
Well, like gummy bear classics.
Gummy bears, obviously.
German
like
ones?
Sour gum, sour Starbursts.
I love that.
Swedish fish.
Ugh.
Yeah, there's all different ones. Spice drops.
Spice drops?
Mm-hmm. Skittles are good, too. Sour Skittles. I like sours. Which gummies do you like?
I'm a huge fan of sour Skittles, number one.
Yeah, sour Skittles are great.
Best candy on the planet?
Yeah.
Sour straws. The sour punch straws.
Oh, my God. Benji got some of those for me the other day. He just came back to the store and just, I was in the back smoking pot. You ever smoke pot with us back there?
I can't smoke pot in public. No,
can you drive on pot?
No, I can't even talk to people on it. I have to be alone.
Who lives out here? Yusuf? Anyone live out in this direction?
Yeah, Matt Fulshron.
You should. There's a new kind of OG Kush that's going around.
Okay.
That people at the Comedy Store have. It's a very social marijuana. I've tried it, and it's when we were on tour, me and Tripoli and Rouse and Neff, and we're all fighting in the car. It's like I would light it up because I wouldn't get involved, and people were like, give me some of that, and we'd all be giggling after a while. It would just be a friendly type of pot.
You know what's funny?
I'm going to give you some of that. I don't have some here, but I'm going to give you some of that and have you have it here around Tom. And if you see the effects, and you should come back there one day and smoke with us.
Okay. I just get anxiety when I'm high around other people.
I know. There's a danger zone. It's like, I got to go. Yeah. This is weird. If you can get over that danger zone, then you coast into this awesome area.
Because I feel like everything I say is stupid.
But it's okay. Just keep your mouth shut for a little while and enjoy yourself. Like, it's not.
I think that way a lot already.
Yeah.
But then when I'm high, it's like...
How come drunks don't feel that way? Because what they say is stupid.
I know. This whole podcast has just been a drunk mess for me.
Are you bombed? I'm like buzzed.
I only have to drink like 2 glasses.
And you're gone.
And I'm like... Meow. Meow.
Okay.
I don't even know.
I think
was that enough? Was that a depression episode?
I don't know. What else is there you want to say about depression? Is there any things you've learned about it that you would share with somebody?
Can I tell
Definitely
you?
Definitely say those.
Yeah, I would think that there's an upside to depression. I think that if you're, who is it? Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living.
Yeah.
And I agree wholeheartedly with that. And
when you're depressed, you really examine every part of you.
That's right. And if you're not depressed, you're not conscious.
It's made my stand-up a million times better.
Oh, for sure. And that's, I think that's what led me to become a comic, was being depressed for so many years.
Yeah, you get to this point, like, let me look at the world for what it is.
Yeah.
The dark side and the good side.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, yay, and like, he's a bum, let's not look at that. Like, no, look at the bum, look at it. what's it doing there? Who made that?
Yeah, watch Gigi Allen. Do you know Gigi Allen?
Barely, I know his name.
It's so great. Like, all that. No, it's a guy. Oh. It's so great. It's a documentary. There's a documentary called Hated, Gigi Allen, the Murder Junkies, that Todd Phillips did about this punker who's bananas. But that kind of... It's called Murder Junkies, Gigi Allen, the Murder Junkies. But like all that dark shit, the scum.
Yeah.
What is that speech that Travis Bickle has in Taxi Driver? Filth, the venal.
There's a rain coming. It's going to wash away.
Someday a real rain will come and wash away. And think.
You know who he says that to?
He's driving. He's just driving. Yeah. To pimps and hookers,
You know who's in the backseat who he's talking to?
Oh.
Scorsese.
No, really?
Yeah. He was, and he looks up at some window. He takes him like look at his wife as a silhouette in some window. Anytime there's a director in the movie, there's a reason he's playing that part.
Wow.
So it's Travis Bickle talking to the director, not just like, oh fuck, we can't find anybody. They could find somebody to sit in the back of a cab.
Yeah.
Anyway, but keep going.
Oh no, I just think that
it helps you look at things like that.
Well, did you ever? I know this is going to sound pretentious. Did you ever read The Existentialist? Did you ever read like Camus or like?
Yeah, The Stranger is my favorite novel.
Yeah, I think that there are books that change your life, and I was really depressed, and I read
my favorite opening sentence of it. I don't remember exactly, but it was like, "My mother died today, or was it yesterday? I can't remember." It's just such a like a calm way of looking at your mother passing.
Yeah,
it was like, I'm sorry, my mom died. Was it today? I don't know.
Well, there's a line I think is in Dostoevsky where he says, consciousness is an illness, a full-blown illness.
Consciousness is an illness.
And I remember reading
that. What is that in?
I think it's in Notes from Underground, Dostoevsky.
Okay, I haven't read that
one. And he talks about a toothache and how he enjoys the toothache because he can play with the tooth with his tongue and the pain gives him pleasure, that nagging toothache.
It's like the cutting.
It's like cutting, yes, and it's a metaphor for existence and the painfulness and the inherent absurdity of life and this and that. And life is absurd. And if you're not depressed about it at some point, you're a fucking idiot. You should be depressed. You're going to die. All of this doesn't mean anything, man.
I found it really freeing. When I came out of it, I was like, you know what? I'll just do comedy for a while. And when that doesn't work out, I'll just put a bullet in my brain. Like, I could do it now, or I'll wait till I run out of money and then do it.
But that's the thing, is that once you realize the absurdity...
And how your life means nothing in the grand scheme of things. between depression and mushrooms, it's really helped me be like, just go. Just keep going.
But that's
just do
right.
stuff you find you enjoy.
It's like when you find out you're a terminally ill person, what's the first thing people do? Like, oh, I want to be a comedian. I want to be a painter.
I've never skied.
You can do all that shit now. You can quit your shitty job today and do the things you really want to do if you're not afraid of death, if you're not afraid of facing your own death.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of depression.
Depression lets you see that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like it's all meaningless. And like, yeah,
Right.
So then what?
Yeah.
Don't just sit there and drink all day. It's all meaningless. So, and then you can go to the next step and like, oh, so then I just do things I enjoy.
Right. You take a leap of faith.
I shouldn't be with some bitter 38-year-old woman who's fucking annoyed. It's like, why? Because my parents thought I should get to marry someone my age?
Right.
Like, let's just be surround yourself with fun people.
Do things and
make things
you
that
happy.
Make you, yeah.
Yeah. And that's,
you want to go skydiving? Fucking do it.
Yeah.
Just go.
And had I not had all that drama in my life and been a cutter and been depressive and weird, and I would never be as happy as I am.
There's this girl, Susan Cain, who talks about introverts. I really want to interview her. She wrote this book. I really, really want to interview her. And she was like, you're stuck like going out to clubs and stuff when that's just not you, and trying to fake it until you realize like, oh, I just want to read a book.
Yeah.
Then if that's what makes you happy, then just go do that.
Yeah. But our society doesn't
tells us
privilege.
That's not allowed. Yeah.
Yes. Because extroverts win. Yeah. Extroverts win a lot in this society. And like, I had to train myself to be an extrovert on stage, you know?
On stage, I try.
Yeah, it's a very difficult thing because I'd prefer to sit in my living room like this and just drink and talk to one person.
My favorite girls I date are like, can you just get high and watch TV or movies with me?
It's like, no.
And I've found a few that have. And you're like, this is way more fun. We want to go to the Sky Bar. Yeah.
That's the foundation of Tommy and my marriage. Is look at our DVR. Like, it's just full of shit shows.
Really?
And we sit here and we laugh.
Just watch and enjoy each other's company. Just be around people.
Yeah. That's life. That's all it is.
You think you get that from depression?
Yeah, because you realize, like, that...
Is Tommy depressed?
...song. I think he was, yeah. In his 20s, he had a spell. Not now. No, he's a happy dude.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he is.
Is that all there is, right? Like the Nancy Sinatra?
All there is,
yeah, my friend, then let's keep dancing.
Yeah.
And that's totally
if,
it.
Right, if there's no point of this, you having fun dancing? Just do that then.
Break out the booze.
Yeah. What are you going home for? There's nothing. Yeah, you'd get ahead for what?
Yeah, man.
To win this race? There's no race.
Can I tell you, but that's my dilemma with showbiz, because then you're like, oh, man.
Well, that's why I saw when Hannibal Buress, when I talked to him, and he has written for 30 Rock and Saturday Night Live.
Crazy.
Gigantic shows that are really, really also not just big shows. It's not like writing for Big Bang Theory when you're like, ew, kill yourself.
I know.
It's like writing for like shows that your peers like, wow, that's awesome. They look up to you for writing for those shows. He goes, oh, no, I just want to do stand-up on the road. I just want to do live stand-up comedy. And you're like, what? He goes, that's what makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a living out of that. Mm-hmm. Rather than make a better living out of something that fills me with anger and fucking self-loathing.
Oh, I would tell you, when I worked as a writer for Chelsea Lately, the most depressing time in my life, I would get in my car and just be like, what the fuck have I done? And it should be the best thing ever, and it's not.
Yeah. When you're an open mic comic and you're starting, Ralphie May told this to me, no, it's so fun.
Yeah.
There's nothing except, it sucks. It sucks. But you're just trying to figure out how to make a joke work.
Yeah, it's simple.
Ralphie told me, and I saw this in the main room when he still used to come around the store like a long, long time ago. And he's like, how long have you been doing comedy? 6 months, whatever it was, a year. He goes, oh, man, that's when it's still fun.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're making a living at this. And I get it now.
Yeah.
It was only about the stand-up. It wasn't about monetizing it or doing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, I figured out how to make a joke work, and I'm on cloud 9.
Yeah.
It didn't work yesterday, and now it works.
Yeah. Remember when you'd have those first sets that would go well?
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep at night. I was so
giddy.
Yeah, I would relive the set in my head over and over. I can't believe I did 5 minutes that worked.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'd never done five before.
Yeah.
I would get off, and I would leave if I was doing the open mic at the Comedy Store. I'd leave the stage and go back to that back stairwell. People like, hey, all right, good set. Or just like, hey, how you doing? They'd get there later. They wouldn't see me. And I'd try to respond to them. I'd be like, because I was still so high off doing it. I couldn't even form words. I had to sit by the piano mic for a while and just sit there while I came down for about 10 or 15 minutes.
Like, I can't believe.
And then I could face people and say, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, if the things make you happy, do those things, right?
Yeah, but I think the gratification for stand-up now is like, now it's a 45-minute set.
Yeah.
And how can I make this better? And how can I be the best comic?
I'm doing that thing, though, that Bill told Tom.
Yeah.
That Bert told Tom, it's the hour, and I'm rejuvenated.
Yeah, me too. I like
aiming
that.
For an hour of numerator. And people are like, oh, you can't do that. I'm like, say whatever you want. I don't care. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And I was holding myself back from doing it because I'm like, I don't know if I could. But then you were like, I can.
Oh, yeah.
If you just commit 100%. And if you don't end with like, when you only have 10 minutes and you're like, oh, okay, I'll do an old closer that works. I'm like, don't do the old closer that works. Yeah. Feel bad.
Yeah.
Go home feeling bad.
Oh.
And you'll write a better closer.
That's the other one where you're like, I'm quitting.
Yeah.
I'm fucking over.
Yeah, that's
man.
That's
you have
torture.
A bad week and you're like, oh, shit.
I feel awesome. And then the next day it's like, what am I doing?
It's such an up and down, man. Stand-up is like existence times a thousand. It's like,
do you still get that? We're like, I should just quit. I'm not good at this.
Oh, I've done I just did a town where like the whole week I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, I quit.
Really?
Yeah, there's just cities you do where
they
you're like,
liking you.
I'm terrible. I'm the worst comedian that ever was. Like, I call Tommy and be like, am I really?
Are you getting more fans now?
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah. It's great. That's the best.
I feel like I skipped a step because you always did the road. I was just an LA comic working on my comedy in LA and workout clubs. And I go on the road with Rogan a little bit and stuff, but I was just featuring for him. And I was an LA comic going 5 to 7 spots a week, just getting better. But like, I never had to do the thing where Kreischer always talks about. It's like, no one here knows me.
Oh, yeah.
I am just doing comedy for these uninformed masses.
Yes.
I did a little bit here or there, but not really. But now I'm like, oh, 20% of the crowd is here for me, at least.
Oh, if there's two that know me from your mom's house, I'm elated.
And
I will do the whole show for them.
They'll calm down the rest of the crowd.
Yeah,
if it's enough people to like start laughing at the darker stuff, the other people that wouldn't, they're like, all right, they'll laugh. All right, we'll just get it. It's clearly a joke. It's like when at the store, we used to have every once in a while, you have four fat black chicks, jovial black chicks up front, middle.
Yeah.
And the show would just go great.
The best. Because
they would just bleed onto everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we can just have a good time.
The courage to laugh. It's the courage to say, I think this is funny. I'm not going to follow who's sitting next to me. I'm not going to worry about my coworkers judging me.
And then everyone else feeds into them. Like, yeah, it is funny.
Yeah, let's relax.
You hear people laughing? Yeah, but when no one laughs, so bad.
It's. But that's the beauty of the podcast is like, if the people listening are down for you just as you.
Yeah. Oh, well, then on stand-up.
Come like, watch me, dude.
Yeah. That's all. You're not a character on stage.
right.
So it's not like you're faking on stage different. You're the same on stage. That's why I feel bad about character comics.
Oh,
I always feel bad about Natasha. I'm like, you got to keep doing this character. You got to put on gloves to go on stage.
And I got to tell you, it's funny because like, I can't imagine. I think she's hilarious, by the way. Let me preface it by saying I love that act and I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
but how does she go to like people that don't know her or go to the Midwest or somewhere in the South where they're like, what? Who the fuck is this bitch? Like they don't get it. Yeah. Do you think they get it everywhere? Because it's a clever fucking...
Brody has that problem. It's like, I'm not really angry. I'm just fake angry.
Yeah, he's the best. Brody Stevens.
And some people are like, why are you pissed about that guy's high school?
Yeah.
He's like, because I'm not.
It's not, yeah. Brody Stevens is ahead of his time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
He's
doing really well lately. People get it now.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. The last like 2-3 months, 4 months, that's all everybody's saying. And that's what I've seen too. It's like, Brody's killing it every night.
Thank God.
Yeah. So what are you going to do for the rest of the night?
Oh, I'm going to continue watching Mob Wives.
Yeah.
I have to wake up early tomorrow, but...
I'm fucked. I woke up at 5 p.m. today, so I won't be going to sleep until at least 4 a.m.
Because you went to bed at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
That's bananas.
I have no... Here's what I figured about comedians. If we had insomnia, I wouldn't know.
I know. I'm pretty much nocturnal.
Yeah, just like,
on the road.
Just didn't go to sleep until I go to sleep.
Well, because you're always in a different time zone.
Mm-hmm.
So like 3 a.m.
Yeah, wake up for radio, sleep 2 hours, wake up, go back to sleep for 4 hours, go to a show, sleep for 5,
that's
do radio.
My age. That's why I can't look like Alyssa Milano. Like,
yeah, she doesn't have to do that.
She doesn't have to sleep for 3 hours and take a red eye and then do radio after being on a red eye.
Yeah. Also,
and not in a,
she's just really hot.
And she's genetically gifted.
Yeah, that's that too. You can't take away her hotness.
That's true, yeah. And she's a witch.
And she's a witch. She's Wiccan.
Right.
Into whatever. So did you cover everything of the depression?
Yeah, I think so. God, I'm sorry. This is so long.
That's all right.
Bore.
We didn't do any of reality. We'll do that another time. Months from now. that'll be the next time. But you have your podcast. Dates and shit and all that stuff.
Okay.
Your podcast is called Your Mom's House.
Yes.
You and Tom Segura.
Yes, yourmomshousepodcast.com. And you can go there and find links to our iTunes and Zune and Stitcher and all that good stuff. And then I will be in Pittsburgh,
Zune
is
a separate one?
Isn't it? Z-U-N-E, Zune?
No, that's a thing. Is that a separate way to listen?
Yeah, it's like a website. And people have been asking about it. And it, I think we're on there automatically, too, because your RSS feed goes...
to them? Just to get, so. Get it to them?
Somebody put it on there.
Okay.
I'll be in Pittsburgh at the Pittsburgh Improv March 22nd through 25th. Why?
Pittsburgh. It's tough.
Oh, don't say that. I need a good city, please.
I mean, hopefully you'll get some cool people to come out. There are cool people in every city. They just happen to be there.
Can I tell you who's the cool people?
What?
People that listen to your mom's house.
Yeah.
And that know Tommy and me.
Yeah.
And that like
That'd
me.
Be cool.
Please come out. If you like my podcast.
Yeah.
Please come to my shows.
Make everyone else better.
Just fucking help, okay? And then Ontario, California, Tommy and I will be at the Ontario Improv together March 30th through April 1st.
Okay.
Which is a rarity. So if you're a Mom's House listener, come to Ontario.
When is that? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Some weird thing. Is that what it is?
No. It's like, hold Saturday, on, March Sunday, 30th Monday? Through April...
Oh, no, first. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's okay. A Friday. We're not doing like a Thursday show. Yes, yeah, sorry. That is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay. What about April? Anything? I don't know if I'm going to air this if it's next week, the week
oh,
after.
Oh, really? Okay, that. hold on.
I'm trying to save some up so when I go on the road, I can like have... I try to do it on Monday.
Okay. April, I do have... Okay. April 12th through 15th, I'm at Cleveland. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio.
The Improv?
Yes, the Improv.
Do you love Improv?
Yeah.
You're headlining them all now?
Yeah.
That's good.
Thank God.
Yeah.
May 3rd through 6th.
Thank God.
Funny Bone in Cincinnati.
Okay.
That's right. Far enough.
Yeah, it's far enough. Too far, no one will pay attention anyway.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be doing that, man. I've done every shithole in America.
All your dates are on yourmomshousepodcast.com?
My dates are actually on ChristinaComedy.com, but there's a link through your mom's podcast.
Okay. You did Christina Comedy because you're like, I'm not even starting with Pazitsky.
Fuck with a last name, but I can't think of a better one.
That's fine. Pazitsky, they're never going to get it.
No one cares, yeah.
How do you spell Pazitsky?
Shut up.
P-A-S-Z?
Close.
P-Z-S?
P-A-Z-S-I-T-Z-K-Y.
Okay.
That was good.
Yeah.
You had it. You had a Z and an S.
Yeah, just wrong, whatever. I've seen it written, though, 1,000 times. I shouldn't, whatever.
God, your beard is so full.
I know. I'm thinking of cutting the hair and just leaving the beard now.
What does your beard smell like right now, you think?
I wash it.
Do you really?
When it itches, that's when I'm like, you better wash this thing.
That's how you know it
that's
smells.
That's how you know. Because the sweat and stuff sticks in there.
Sometimes Tommy will come to bed and I'll be like, did you eat pizza?
His beard will smell?
I can smell the cheese in his beard.
What does he eat? So his hands behind his back? He's just always trying to stay in shape for an eating competition?
Because he eats like a fucking homeless guy.
Nom, 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 nom.
He eats out of garbage dumpsters like a bear. Like a crazy bear.
Yeah. If you were homeless, I wonder if it would be hard if you got adopted. And you'd be like, oh, I can't eat off plates. I just have to eat out of the garbage. That's how I'm used to eating.
That is so ridiculous.
Yeah. And get a mom pack. If you go to
super mommy pack.
Super mommy pack. Go to momshousepodcast.com.
That's right.
Get your CD and his CD.
And my poster, my fat glamour shot I took at Sears.
Yeah.
When I was a lot fatter. I went to Sears and I took fat glamour shots.
Gross, Christina.
Mm-hmm.
Your face looks different.
You're welcome.
Ooh, ugh.
And then Tommy's
with
DVD.
With hearts behind it.
Yeah, look how cheap
it
is.
No smiling.
She didn't even frame it properly. Do you see like how she fucked it up?
This
it's
thing?
Such a shitty, yeah.
What is that?
Exactly. It's the fucking background. She messed it up at Sears.
Oh, you're actually in front of a background.
Mm-hmm.
You sign them and send them out?
Of course.
Right.
Personalized mommy messages for everybody.
Okay, this is one of my longest podcasts ever
for
reason.
Fuck's
and we
sake.
Didn't even get to the topic I wanted to get to.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's great. People like content. Okay.
Thank you, Ari, for
You're
having
welcome.
Me. It was fun. I love you.
I love you too.
I love you.
That's it, you guys. Do you like it? That was fun. That was long. I know it was long, but it was fun. Right? She's interesting. I liked her. This is one of the first like long conversations we ever had, really. Like the stuff about how she thought I was an asshole. I shouldn't say she thought. That's a qualifier. About how I was an asshole. And the stuff about females in comedy, too. Because I struggle with it. I don't want to be the guy who's hateful, but then sometimes there's hate inside me. So I have to figure out where it's coming from. It's coming from a place of analysis or just a place of bias. So I'd like to examine it. Maybe I'll call Jen Kirkman and we can talk about chicks in comedy. Maybe that's what I'll do. She'll get so emotional. But that'd be fun, right? It'd be fun when people get emotional. Anyway. Not that I'll try to make her that. Whatever. Anyway, so that's it. Again, go to gamefly.com/Ari. Free 2-week trial. Won't cost you anything. I get cash. And that'll help me keep doing this, you know? Otherwise, I run out of fucking incentive. But by the way, congratulate my fucking back or tap me on the back or whatever it is, because I've still done this every Monday for like, I don't know how many months now. I really didn't think I'd be able to do more than 3. This is what lazy people do when they accomplish like 3 things. They brag about it for years. All right, everybody, subscribe to these on iTunes. Tell your friends so that more people will fucking know about it, and I can get, you know, more sponsors from Amazon and from Gamefly and from other people, and I can keep doing these. And then and so you'll have someone to talk to things about too. Yeah, that's another thing, by the way, too. If you're enjoying these and they bring up subjects, talk about them with your friends. Because the point is, for me, I guess I should say this in the beginning of an episode, not the end. But the point for me of these is, one, to be funny and to increase my draw. But two, it's so that I can understand more about the world that we live in and the people that inhabit them. I like to say the best way I can explain it is if you had one breakup ever in your life and somebody asked you how breakups were, you might be like, oh, they're totally cool. You just go your separate ways and you shake hands and you become friends. And that's, I can't imagine any other way. But then the more experiences you hear about, the more you realize there's an equally like common situation of guys breaking up and going, oh, I want to fucking stab that bitch. I'll never rest until her mom sees her buried. You know, both valid. So that's what I like to hear about. So if you guys hear these, talk to each other about them. I don't know. If you don't want to tell anybody about them, then find somebody else who's already listening and talk to them about it. Because I think that's what makes, I shouldn't say, you know, but I think that's what makes an understanding of the world we live in. That's what helps you get there, is by just talking things out. All right, you guys, I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but I don't think so. Again, go to my website for all my dates, Denver, Dallas, Philadelphia, Vancouver, Kansas City, I don't know, Toronto again, I think. Maybe, with Tom Segura and Brendan Walsh. We might be doing a couple shows there together at the Comedy Bar. We shall see. All right, that's it. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. I will talk to you later. Bobby Brown? No, maybe Bobby Brown, or maybe I already did him. I don't know. Somebody, take us out. Talk to you next week. I'm not afraid.